to Game 32 of the Lincoln Cast. I am the announcer for you, and we have starting forward, Shinboy.
Wait, starting forward?
Yes, in rear guard is New Brahma, and defensive lineman is Durin. Shinboy, what you been playing?
I'm so confused. This all came too quickly.
You said you love my announcer voice, and I'm being an announcer. I'm your host, Liberalton, for the week of December 8th, 2012.
Are you announcing wrestling?
Like, I told you minor league baseball.
I was confused when he said this was game number 32.
Yeah, game number 32.
32 of the Lincoln Cast season, obviously.
Okay. So we're still in season one then?
Yeah.
And we have a really
long season.
Well,
I guess we must.
I told them baseball has really long seasons.
Yeah, before the game came out was preseason.
Okay.
Season two will be when the expansion hits. I mean,
gotcha.
If there is one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes okay.
Yeah,
it's actually starting to make sense.
Okay. Defensive lineman, that's baseball, right?
Yeah,
that's Little League.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't
scoring
know
goal
anything
units.
About baseball.
I know pitcher and shortstop.
Oh, what about that guy who like says you're out and like stuff?
Oh right, yeah.
I think that's hockey.
Oh.
No. That's not hockey. Fuck
yeah, because he says you've been traveling on the ice.
No. Obviously.
That's speed skating.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So
now we're going into Olympic sports. The really
sports
area of expertise.
What you been up to?
Scribblenauts Unlimited is what I've been up to.
Oh, yeah.
I love that name. It's a game I want to play, but it was on the
like,
DS,
like,
so I never got to play it. Tell me about
it. Yeah, same.
I love that name, but it's saddening too because where can you go after Unlimited? Like they can't another one.
Infinite.
Scribblenauts
Universe.
You can't really go anywhere on Steam.
You could go other places on the Nintendo platforms, but you can't really go anywhere on Steam because of the whole workshop support.
Yeah.
True. I mean
that does make it unlimited. That's it. Scribblenauts is done. No more Scribblenauts after this.
Ever.
And
Steam,
yeah,
so cool. We can just say Steam killed Scribblenauts forever.
Yeah, pretty
now
much.
Killed Scribblenauts. Gabe Newell.
Gabe Newell, what are you doing? You've killed Scribblenauts.
Why are you making another Valve console? But
that's another subject for another.
That's
day.
Another subject entirely.
Yeah, Scribblenauts is great. I had never played a Scribblenauts game before, not owning any form of DS. So this is like a brand new crazy world that I'm living in, where I can just type anything and it magically appears.
Well, this one's kind of crazy compared to the prior ones, too, because this one actually has, like, a full-on, like, sort of open-ish world?
No. Yes and no. The way it's broken down is there are set levels, but there's set different hub worlds, and the little areas are within those hub worlds, and there's missions in both the hub worlds and the sectioned-off areas.
Okay.
It's kind of weird. The hub worlds are the ones that are gated.
It's still more open than like the previous games. Previous games, it was literally like broken up into levels.
Yeah, like this is they are gated by like the stars that you need to get. So you need like 8 stars to get World 2, but once you get into World 2, you can go into any of the little sub areas at any time. You don't need to do them in a specific order. It's pretty neat.
Okay, so as Noob was asking prior to our recording, can you still just make Cthulhu for everything and win?
I don't know about win. You can make some version of Cthulhu and probably get pretty far. Mm. Like, I needed to make some guy laugh, and I made Dancing Cthulhu, and it worked pretty well.
So, my biggest question
go
for
crazy while laughing.
My biggest question for Scribblenauts is, when you type something in, how likely is it that it just won't be on the database?
Well,
like, how large is that database?
I don't know. I haven't really come across anything that wasn't like restricted by licensing that wasn't there.
Right.
So, like pretty much everything except for licensed characters, which people are getting around on the Steam Workshop by naming Solid Snake, Snake Eater, and Iron Man, Iron Guy.
Wait, so they can't actually name people like that on Steam Workshop then?
No, because it's against the agreement for the game itself.
Oh.
Is you're not allowed to like include licensed characters at all. Yeah. It's weird though because there's the most popular ones, you look at it and it's all licensed characters but with names changed obviously. And then a whole bunch of TF2 things that they didn't bother. It just straight up says TF2 Red Demo Man. I don't know if that's allowed.
I'm assuming just because it's Valve.
Yeah, Valve's like, yeah, whatever.
We'll charge
hand
for
over
it.
Fist off
what
you
about
guys anyway?
Real life people? Like Kim Il-sung or any other dear leader.
If you want to create your dear leader, you probably could, and just name him dear leader, and it will be fine.
Yeah. I mean, North Korea probably isn't going to sue for copyright.
Probably it's not. Great because...
To be fair, they might attack editor, for copyright.
And there's a whole bunch of properties you can change, whether they're hostile and everything. And you can also... There's just a checkbox that all it just says is like, gravity applies or something like that. So you can uncheck that and it'll start floating everywhere.
So you can make like flying great leader.
I'm imagining Kim Il-sung somehow buys the game in Steam. Like he's the only who has access to it. Tries to get that dead. Name.
I just can't.
Yeah, and it's like, that's the name I already taken by so-and-so in Canada.
Next thing like, you know, nukes on Canada.
That'd be good.
That's how Canada meets its demise. Scribblenauts.
Man, I don't know. So is it like really sandboxy? You can literally do anything you want? Because that's like my dream game.
I mean, yes and no. It has to actually be something that would work, but like, going back to the hospital level that I was talking about before, I don't remember if it was before we started recording, probably. One doctor's like, oh man, I need some form of instrument to perform surgery on this dude. And I'm just like, how about a chainsaw? And I gave him a chainsaw and it worked.
So, no, I mean like in the way like you can fight or you can spawn 5 Hitlers and 5 Joseph Stalins and make them fight.
Oh yeah, if you create those things in the object editor and set the properties right, you can totally do that.
That's crazy. That sounds... Yeah. That sounds like the biggest time killer in the world.
Yeah, that's probably the craziest thing about all of it. Like, it's only $30. Like, that is insane.
I know. It's nuts. I was going back and forth. I think I talked to you during on Steam about it. I was like, I don't know if I want to get this. I might wait till it goes on sale. And then you were just like, it's probably not going to go on sale. And I was like, you're right. And the next day I ended up buying it.
Just came out. Yeah. Well, because I mean, like, it just released, like, what, 2 weeks ago at this point?
Yeah.
Or last week?
Something like that, yeah.
The next sale is going to be, you know, the holiday sale that's coming up in probably a couple
that's
of weeks.
That's like in a week.
That's
way
too soon, too close to that release date. There's no way. And if it does go on sale, it probably wouldn't be more than like 10 or 15%.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I'm going to just, for funsies, going to try and S rank it because the achievements seem pretty simple. The achievements are pretty much just like beat all the big challenges and sub challenges. And like that seems like it'd be fun to do. But the only thing I'm worried about, is at some point later on, the game's logic will not match my logic, and I just won't be able to finish something, and I'll just be sitting there for hours, like, what will work in the situation?
Doesn't work here.
Cthulhu doesn't work, what the hell? Tomb Cthulhu does not work.
Yeah,
it's fun. Some things are already kind of weird, I noticed, like, not so much with the logic of it, but how the mechanics work, like you create something, then you like drag it to something to apply it to it. So like there's one part where you need to make a car look like a fire engine. So I'm just like, red paint. And I summoned it and dragged it over to the car and it didn't work. But then one of the like firemen just sort of walked over to the car, happened to see the red paint, picked it up, and then it worked.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of instances where like you can't directly interact with things. You have to make the people there interact with them.
Yeah.
I think I saw that on the quick look.
Yeah. I mean, me not knowing that, I was kind of scratching my head for a minute, wondering why my obviously flawless logic was not working. But it was cool because I think my favorite one, there was a penguin who was an art thief. And he's like, hey, I need help getting past these guards so I can steal this art. So, you know, right click on him, use the notebook or notepad, add adjective. And I just made him invisible. And he just walked
out. Oh, that's too simple. That's too simple. I wonder if you could do something like Jedi Mind Trick.
Probably.
Not Jedi Mind Trick, because that would be copyright.
Oh, right.
Hey, with the Steam Workshop, anything.
And that's probably the hardest thing about playing through Scribblenauts, is a lot of the things that first pop into your head are things like Jedi stuff, Mind Trick, right. Things that are copyrighted. You're like, well, fuck, okay, how do I word this in a way that is not copyrighted?
Brown-robed,
and if you figure it out, generally
person.
It'll work.
I don't know.
Oh, man.
Well, no, that's the thing. What you would probably do in that case, like, I would imagine if you created, and there were instances like this in previous Scribblenauts games, not exactly like this, but, like, things similar. Where, like, in that instance, you would create, like, say, like, you'd make a monk, and it would be a dude in a robe, and you'd set him down, and then create, like, a laser sword, and you'd give it to him, and then he would basically be a Jedi.
Basically. But the thing I like about... this game with the addition of Steam Workshop is that it'll remain current, meaning that like if something shows up in pop culture, I can just wait about a week, and odds are
is Sai in there?
Game.
Don't tell me Sai's
Sai
in there.
Is in there.
Sai is in
there. That's where I was going with this.
Damn it. Damn
also,
it.
Also, there is a binder that you can place on the ground and hit open, and a woman will pop out. It is quite literally a binder of women.
Are you serious?
That's binder
crazy.
Full of women.
That's crazy. That is actually
it's fantastic.
Crazy.
I am behind on pop culture, it seems. I have no idea what that means.
Political stuff. Don't worry about it.
Awesome.
Something important.
Oh, wait, that's in there?
God damn it, not here.
That's in there?
I don't know. I just,
holy shit.
When people are political, that's what they say.
Ron Paul 2012.
Yeah.
Ron Paul? Okay. Yep.
All caps. Ron Paul 2012.
Yeah. Scribblenauts, it's $30. It's on Steam, Steam Workshop. It's also on Wii U and I think DS.
Yes. Yeah, 3DS, Wii U, and PC.
The
weirdest combination
of, I think this is a pretty
combination of platforms for a game to release on, really.
One thing which I read I haven't had an issue with because it's not exactly a strenuous game hardware-wise. Apparently the game speed is tied to the frame rate, meaning that if you, for some strange reason, you can only run it at 30 frames, it'll run at half speed.
Oh, wow. Really?
Oh, that is rough.
But
then again, you'd have to have like
if your computer can't handle this game at 60, like
you'd have to have like a fucking like 7-year-old MacBook to not be able to run this thing at 60.
You would need like a 20-year-old like home built machine to not be able to run this.
Oh man, I really want to get that game.
Windows ME.
I'm gonna put that on my wish list.
I mean, if people are listening to this podcast and like, oh, I'm gonna buy it right now. Don't give it like a week or two.
No. That's what I was saying, Thurb. It's not. It will probably not go on sale.
No, I think it will go on sale, but not too.
We don't know.
We don't know, but it'll be within like the month of release. Like,
yeah, but that said, you have really nothing to lose.
THQ's putting stuff on sale.
THQ is just trying to fucking make money. They're putting stuff on sale everywhere, just like, oh god, please people, give us money.
To be fair, that has been working. That Humble Bundle, THQ.
Oh no, it has. That Humble Bundle might have saved
raised up their stock price a lot.
Yeah, that Humble Bundle might have actually saved that company.
It's gotten to the point where the Humble Bundle is saving corporations. What is this world coming to?
That's great.
It is kind of sad to see the Humble Bundle on there and all those amazing games that they put on there for that group. And to see that the average price is still only like $5.
$6.
Yeah. Have you seen people complaining, as they like to do, about Humble Bundle, how they lost all their credibility by hooking up with a big publisher?
Oh yeah, because it's no longer Humble
God
anymore.
Damn it, you guys.
Well, and like, the thing is, like, I guess I could understand where people are coming from with that. If it weren't for the fact that I just love everything that THQ does, and if this means that they are able to continue on and for the next great game in the Saints Row franchise to release, like, fucking more power to them.
I mean, it's not like they're taking away your ability to donate to charity or the Humble Bundle, so I don't really see the problem here.
Yeah,
you know,
like you could literally give THQ.
You hate THQ, donate it to charity. Congratulations. There you go.
Exactly.
You don't have to just complain.
Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of people don't realize or just blind anger or whatever, but like you don't have to give THQ any of that money. You can give them $20 towards this thing and put all of it to the charity.
You can give them 1 cent and not give that to THQ.
Yeah, or you can give them like
you can give it all to charity and THQ and just like screw Humble Bundle.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like I'm not giving you guys any money.
A lot of people were complaining because the minimum was $1. I'm like, fuck you. If you're
going to pay
less than $1 for like six
people games. Really complained that it was.
Seriously?
Oh my god.
I still like
I read
how there
were some guys complaining about all of these things.
I still like the Cards Against Humanity Christmas pack. If you say you say $0, they basically curse you out.
Like they'll send it to you, but they'll curse you out.
They'll send you like
apparently that thing accepted negative amounts.
Christmas pack.
It what now?
Apparently that thing accepted negative. Yeah, I don't know what happened if you did it, but apparently you
accepted
negatives.
I was actually kind of sad because
they just packed money inside.
when I put in my order for that, I'd read like Thurb was talking about how like you could send $0 and like they let you know like well it does cost us like $1 to make them and $2 to ship. So like ideally at least $3. We think it's worth $5. And I was like, okay, I'll give them $5, assuming that it would charge me $8, because I thought that the $1 and $3 was like that's the bare minimum. You are going to pay this much.
No.
And so when I saw the charge for $5 on my bank account, I was like, oh well, shit. If I'd have known that, I'd have gone ahead and just given them.
Wait, so is that pack only the Christmas cards, or is that the entire thing?
No, it's only the Christmas
cards. 30 cards.
It's only the Christmas cards.
So like, I was actually kind of sad that I didn't give them as much money as I thought I did.
Buy it again. Buy it again.
It's already sold out, isn't it? Like that thing, those things sell out.
In yeah, really?
I don't know.
The regular packs sell out really, really quick.
Yeah, I went and bought it like literally as I got the email. I picked it up. Yeah. I know how fast.
And considering that there's probably a whole bunch of scumbags who would give nothing just because they can.
And see, like, I don't even own the actual base set. Like, these will be the only cards.
I hope they're not making a loss
own.
Out of this, because if they're, I don't know. I honestly hope they don't make a loss out of this.
I don't think they will. Honestly, like a lot of the people that. Like
I'm sure for every like one deck, there are at least like three reasonable people.
Yeah.
Even then, I think they're okay with making loss on just this small product.
Well, yeah, especially exactly. Like this isn't a huge product, and they do have the Giant Bomb expansion coming in the pipeline at some point as well.
Well, so, and like, they like with every Christmas they pumped out a whole new set of starter decks, and so people are going to be buying those. Like you know,
are those still available?
I don't know. You should have gotten. They put them back in stock as soon as the Christmas one went up. You should have.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Well, no. See, like that's the thing. Like, I couldn't afford the $25 for the main set. I can afford the Christmas set for now, and then eventually I'll get that set as well.
Okay.
Not wanting to jump on what Shinboy's been playing, but like spoiler, that's pretty much what I've been doing. Cards Against Humanity.
Boom. Cards Against Humanity is fun, except I can't play it too many times. Like.
Yeah,
too short of a span because
like
you get the same cards and it's like
right. Having played it a lot of the same times with the same people, it does kind of get stale. Like things like Code Hanger Abortions and stuff like that. That's like that's cool. I guess.
Well, have you guys seen the online versions that people have kind of created?
Yeah, that's what we've been playing.
Those
on really the Giant Bomb PC Gaming Hub. We were playing the online version, and it was okay. And then they added the My Little Pony thing, and then we kind of just stopped playing.
Oh Jesus Christ. But see, I will say, like I've never actually played the game.
Wow!
But yeah, cards
just
cards
fucking stunned silence
play
there.
Playing with these people
really
is actually fun, though.
Well,
genuinely,
see, the thing is, like I never owned the cards. Then like I've known of a couple different ways you can play it online, but never really gotten into the communities that did so.
It's really funny
like,
to
I've downloaded them, but
situations where
them.
You shouldn't. Just saying, because when the power was out during the storm. All those weeks ago, I was playing with my neighbors and I won. The question was like, why am I drinking or why am I sad and drinking or something like that? And with all the flooding in my town, I won with the card Flash Flooding.
Brilliant.
I swear to God, winning that game means you're just a terrible person. You don't want to be winning that game.
Well, see, what I'm hoping for now that I have this Christmas set and then I really want to try to get the base set before... I want to try to get the base set before Christmas, but I don't think it's going to happen. Because what
you
I'd like to do
it for a family gathering.
Yes.
Oh, that's
print out the ghetto.
I would love to play this with
version
like,
and just.
I'm not even kidding. I would play this with my parents.
Hmm. Well, it's
you have to understand my parents though. Like we
I
went
don't know
as
if
a,
I could play that with my parents.
We went as a family to go see the South Park movie.
My dad just might not be able to understand it, so I could just blissfully say terrible things.
My mom once. Granted, she might have had a few drinks at that point, but did proclaim to my brother that she could have swallowed him. So
what?
Oh,
what? Was a little, more just, open about
what?
Stuff.
Are we thinking of the same like thing for swallow?
Oh God, this is going a weird place.
Okay, you know what?
Change the subject.
That's great.
Change
the subject. We should play Cards Against Humanity sometime over online. This entire podcast. True, we should play Cards Against Humanity online.
Shinboy, you been playing anything else?
Scribblenauts.
Right on. Durin, what you been playing? What you been up to?
I have. I'm kind of sad that Cynic's not here because he's kind of been keeping a tab on my.
Persona, fuck you.
No. He's been keeping a tabs on my Assassin's Creed adventures. Last time we talked, which would have been like 2 weeks ago, I was in the middle of Brotherhood. I have since finished Brotherhood, finished Revelations, and I'm now a few hours into Assassin's Creed.
Oh, is this going to turn into another Assassin's Creed talk? I'm just going to leave.
No, it's not. I'm not super far into 3. I will, however, say that the people who have spoken negatively about Revelations, I think either they played Revelations too long after Brotherhood, or they just are bad people, because that was actually a solid game in every respect.
I think they're just bad people.
I think so. Like,
am I a bad person for not liking Assassin's Creed at all?
I mean, no, honest. I mean, I could see why somebody. I mean, with as many games that are out there, I could see why you would just skip on these games.
Right.
Like there are a lot of quality games out there.
You have Hearts of Iron 3.
There are a lot of quality games out there to play.
Hey.
So I can see why you had to skip on some occasionally here and there. And I could see why Assassin's Creed would be one. And especially like if you didn't get in kind of at least at 2, it can be real hard to just jump right in. Like there's some crazy, just fucking batshit crazy shit going on in that series at this point. And it can be
I watched the ending cutscene of 2 and just like, the fuck?
Okay, well, that was my reaction too, and I played the entire game.
That's what he says.
No, yeah, I believe he does, actually. I think he does say, what the fuck?
I'm like, I agree, Nolan North. What the fuck?
Yeah, and that's the thing about those games is actually, from what I've played so far of those games, they all have endings like that. Like, Brotherhood's ending was very what the fuck, and as was Revelations, and I hope that Assassin's Creed 3 lives up to that as well, but from what I've been hearing, not so much. I will say, however, I'll cut it off after this for the Assassin's Creed. But I will say they did make some good changes with the traversal stuff in this game. However, this is also probably the most broken Assassin's Creed I've played so far.
Like bug wise,
like bug wise, 3.
Yeah. Well, but like what level?
3
of
is
bugs
very
is like Rockstar level of bugs, or more like Bethesda level of bugs.
Bethesda bugs are so charming.
Yeah. No, these are more like
sometimes, unless they just constantly crash.
Like things like characters randomly, like they'll show up on the mini map that they're standing there and they're not actually, and then like out of nowhere they'll just randomly pop into the world. And I'm talking like they were not there for a solid 30 seconds. It was like a group of troops, and like then just suddenly they just popped into the world, kind of above the ground, fell down onto the ground, and then started walking. There was a harbor master that apparently was about 15 feet out into the middle of the water, so I couldn't see him.
He was mastering his harbor.
So just weird things like that. I mean, the Assassin's Creed games have had some weird bug issues with characters.
Open world jank.
Yeah, exactly. Like characters that are halfway through buildings and stuff like that. Like it happens in those games. But there have been some other weird quirks here and there with this one. And they made some advancements with the traversal, but I feel like for the step forward that they took with the traversal, they took about a half step back as well, because it feels a little bit too quick, like the movement, and so you much more easily lose control of your character and can end up jumping off of something you didn't mean to do.
Yeah, I don't know if I did I go over this last podcast. I talked about how I've been playing Assassin's Creed 3, but like the things I don't like about that game are the things that made it awesome in like 1 and 2. Basically, like you can't. Like, if you can't get into a fist fight, which is silly, I know, but it's like, well, at least in Boston, I've tried it, and in 1 and 2,
like just,
I would
you
just
mean like
start
randomly
punching,
walking up to somebody
guys.
And punching them.
Yeah, not guards per se, but just random people.
Okay, yeah, I've not tried that.
And well, if you try,
why not?
It,
that'd be
get
the first
stabbed.
Thing I would try.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, this is a silly thing, but this had me cracking up when my friend did it when we were younger and we started playing Assassin's Creed 2. Was you could grab somebody and throw them.
Yeah.
But what he did is he just grabbed somebody in the middle of a fist fight and just started dancing with them while everyone else was circling him and getting ready to punch.
You know, one thing that bothered me too is in this one, like they kind of were like going away from the idea of your life bar being your sync meter. One did that really well, and they've kind of just slowly gone away from that. In this one, they just completely fucking threw that out the window. You just have a life bar now, and it recharges.
This is a red bar.
It's like a white meter over next to your mini map, but it like it straight up just recharges. Like there's no health items I can find in this game.
You just
stay out of combat
while it heals.
Yeah, just stay out of combat. That's it.
Get out of combat. Switch out your traits and your utilities.
But I didn't know. In general, I'm enjoying the game a lot. There's just some weird quirks here and there that I know were not in the other Assassin's Creed games because I fucking just played them. So, like, again, it feels like they've taken some steps forward with this game, but it feels like they've taken almost as many steps backwards. The Frontier is also something that's really interesting in concept, but like they've mentioned on Giant Bomb, they don't really capitalize on it, and it kind of feels like maybe an update to the areas between the major cities in the first game, but it still has that same problem of fucking none of this matters.
Yeah,
so
I'd like to
I'm
see,
better
like,
off just I'm better off just quick traveling because this is all pointless.
Yeah, I think like what we can take from this is like what hopefully what designers and whatnot have taken from. Crap! It was that game where you would just climb dragons.
Skyrim.
Climb dragons.
Skyrim. It's not Skyrim.
Dragon's Dogma.
I've like, literally climbed
Dragon's
Dogma.
Dragon's Dogma.
Okay.
One froze up.
Shadow of the Colossus.
Well,
oh,
yeah, it's
Aragon?
The same concept.
Aragon?
It's just like the free roaming in the wilderness is a great concept, and I hope like
is it
there's
that
a game
PS3
that revolves
game?
Around that. The ship fighting is another great concept, and like yeah. if they built on that a little bit more, it could be its own game. Like that would be a I hate to say it, but like a Pirates of the Caribbean game that I would like to play.
Well, and that's
Lair,
something I can
just mute it.
Hope that they
talking about Lair?
Go forward with this. Is like I'm hoping that with this game they took a lot if not almost all of the systems that they added throughout the Assassin's Creed 2 games and just threw them out the window, like they're just fucking gone,
yeah,
and replaced them like whole cloth with new mechanics and new systems. These new systems, you know, some of them are really interesting, like you said, like the boats and stuff, and others are maybe just wasted potential like the Frontier. But I'm hoping that they iterate on this with the next game, and instead of just throwing them out entirely, make them actually interesting. And I think they have the potential to do so, and they have the potential for the next game to be really fucking good if they can manage to make all of this stuff work the way they intended it to do in this game.
Right on. So, anything else you've been playing?
I've also been playing Far Cry 3, and that game's fucking awesome.
Ooh.
I've taken Patrick's approach to it. So the first thing I did, I'm not very far in, maybe a couple hours.
Did you fight a shark?
I have not fought a shark yet, but basically I did not purchase anything until I could afford the bow. And then immediately bought that and then bought a quiver for it. So I can hold up to 10 arrows now. I did a couple missions where I didn't have the quiver, so all I held was 5. That is fucking hard because you have 5 arrows and that's it. So you
I
better
heard that
not
the
miss.
Best part of that game is stealth. And it's
the
like
best part of the game
friend,
from what I heard is like just not
like
the story.
A person I know said, this is the best stealth game I've ever played, and it's not a stealth game. And
yeah, I'll
is
give
that
you that.
True? Would you say that?
I'm fucking terrible at stealth games, and I tend to hate them, but these newer stealth games are starting to turn me around on that, and Far Cry 3 has done the best job so far of what I played. Mm-hmm. Like, they just, it makes you feel fucking amazing, like stalking through the grass with your.
And
your
it's not too easy.
With, nothing but you
I think
your
that's
bone.
A,
no,
I think that's a good change
all.
Of words because you are you're like you're stealthing with the intent to kill, whereas all the other stealth games you're stealthing to avoid.
Yeah, exactly.
Cough, like, Dishonored, cough.
Like in this game, yeah. Like I'm one of the early missions I had, I was like stealthing into this encampment and I needed to kill all the dudes. It was like the very first time you reach one of the camps, you can liberate once you've killed all the guys. And at that time, I didn't have the bow; all I had was a pistol, and. Granted, a little bit into it, I managed to end up fucking up and accidentally reveal myself. But like, what's cool about it is like you feel like it makes you really feel like a predator. Like you are stalking them through the grass, you're tagging them so you can keep an eye on where they are, and like
all of this sounds very familiar to me.
Well, until you look over to the left and you realize there's a tiger next to you and you get mauled.
Well, see, I haven't run into that quite as bad yet. Oh. But one of the nice things I like about it is the stealth kill with your knife. Can be done from like fucking 10 feet away. And also,
oh,
can
so
be,
it's Call of Duty?
It can also be done at a dead run.
Oh, nice.
So, like, I was
really
like stalking through the grass. Well, no, because, like, I was stalking through the grass and there was a guy that had come out by himself, and so I knew I needed to kill him, but he was facing in a way that I couldn't just stalk up on him very slowly and actually catch him. He would end up seeing me. So instead, I just fucking booked it out of the grass and lunged at him and killed him and then turned around, ran back into the grass, slid into the grass. No one saw me.
Jesus.
Do I want to play this game?
This game is fucking awesome. And like I said, that was like, before I'm the bow. There was a mission a little bit later on after I got the bow. You're supposed to sneak around to get these radio things off these guys and get up to this boat. And once you get up to the radio in the boat itself, a bunch of guys are called in and you need to escape. And I've watched some other people play it and basically, the idea of it is like a firefight to get your way out of there. That's not how I handled it because all I had was a bow. I hadn't unlocked the ability to have a second weapon yet. So I actually like snuck around at the top of this boat, picking them off like sniper style from the top of the boat. A couple of them making it onto the boat themselves, and I just fucking stabbed them in the neck. until they were all dead, and I had still like two or three arrows left, and then went around and just scavenged my arrows off their body before leaving the area.
I see, that was going to be the next question. If like you shoot someone, if you only have 5 arrows, do you have to go pick your arrows up?
Yeah. So you want to make, that's what I was saying. You want to make sure you don't miss, because if you manage to hit a guy, I mean, even if you don't hit a guy, if you know where your arrow landed, you can actually go pick it up, but there's no indicator on the minimap or above the arrow or anything to show you where it's at. So you want to make sure you hit the guy, because if you hit him, then when you go over to loot his body, you'll pick up the arrow.
Nice.
Okay.
So yeah, Far Cry 3.
Something I can maybe get into.
I absolutely would suggest you play that game. That game is awesome. I don't even care about the story. Like, the story could be terrible. I don't care.
I don't know, I feel like if I want my ridiculous open worldness, I can always just go back to Skyrim and just mod the hell out of it.
Well, it's just there going to be mod support for Far Cry 3?
I doubt it.
You think it's going to be a thing that happens, or
mod support?
Do we think someone's going to make their own story of like, basically what Giant Bomb has been asking like to be the ending of?
Yeah, I think it's possible.
Anime simulator.
I think it's possible because I mean they already have a world editor built into the game.
The thing is, Far Cry 2 also had a world editor built into the game, but right. It simply is not a
but nobody liked Far Cry 2.
Pardon?
Nobody liked Far Cry 2, so like the mod
scene
wasn't
there.
But
it was used the hell out of it, but the thing is, the problem is, unless they develop a building kit, absolutely nothing can really come out of it, unless people just pour time into it, which I doubt.
I suppose. I mean, I don't know, I can see with as much praise as this game is getting, if it gets the sales to back that up, I could maybe see them going in and adding that in after the fact. Just because it
would you say like they should add like straight up dev tools like Valve does with Hammer and like
that would be amazing
with the creation kit?
Yeah, that would be amazing. I don't know if they will, and if they do, it might be a bit before they did. But I definitely feel like they need to open it up to some extent beyond just the level editor, because the level editor is mostly there for like the multiplayer stuff, which is like the weakest part of the game. But yeah, the level editor is actually like really robust and really cool and well done and everything. So like, it'd be a shame for them to just leave it, and because like then nobody will use it. Like I think that really they would be smart to actually utilize the popularity of the kind of the personal stories that people come out of that game with, and the capabilities that level editor would allow players to actually like create those stories for others to enjoy as well.
Okay, that makes sense. Because, like, just going back to Skyrim, like, with modding, there was some guy who did a whole series of videos where he would take, like, 50 of one thing and, like, 100 of another and have them fight on this choke point to see who would win. But what happened was with one of the ones that I watched, it was, like, necromancers versus some other type of mage. And in the middle of it, these two dragons decided, hey, let's land in the middle of the bridge and just show everyone what's good.
Stuff
like that. If they could add something like that where you can just spawn and create your own custom scenarios.
And especially having that random factor
anime
of...
sexy anime maid girls running around in Skyrim.
I want to see... Basically what I'm saying is I want to see tigers versus land sharks.
Well, that's what I was going to say too. Like, especially having that random factor of the wildlife, like that could make that even better.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just, there's so much potential there if they just go that extra mile with this game. This game could really have legs for a long time going forward. I did play one other game quickly, and then I promise we'll move on, but I did want to mention it at least. I did also play some of the StarCraft II Heart of the Swarm beta.
Ooh. StarCraft. Oh, nice.
Tell me more.
That game is awesome, and with the patch they just put into it, it's finally hitting a point where they might start just doing kind of the tweaking balance, getting it ready for launch in March, and it'll probably bring me back to playing that game again.
Fuck, I've been contemplating the same thing. Oh, man.
Like, because March is in my birthday, and I'm wondering whether or not I should pick it up for my birthday, but I'm not sure whether or not I want to be pulled into StarCraft.
Well, like, okay, there's...
The first few months of StarCraft ruined many friendships of mine. I'm just saying.
Well, there's some really cool things they did with this one, or that they're doing with this. First off, they're adding cross-region play, finally. So if you have any friends over in Europe and you're in America...
How many years did this take?
Yeah, I know, right?
2 years?
Oh, no, it gets better, Noob. It gets better. They're finally also introducing shared replays. So you and your friends can hop into a game and watch a replay together. No more counting down 3, 2, 1, play. Oh, God, I'm 3 seconds behind you. Hang on, let me speed it up. And none of that shit anymore. But they also, probably one of the biggest things that they're adding in with this is what's called unranked multiplayer. And so what that basically is, like, you have the ladder like you have in Wings of Liberty, but so then, like, you also have
games, or
no, there are
games that already exist.
Yeah.
What this is this is actually a matchmaking system. It still uses the matchmaking, so it still matches you up against people of your skill level, but it's games that you can play that do not at all affect your ladder ranking. Which so is so incredibly handy.
You're not pressured to, like, you can hopefully just have fun.
Well, you can have fun. You can learn new builds. You can maybe even, like, decide,
yeah, try out a new build.
I'm going to try out Zerg. I haven't played them before. I'm going to try them. And completely do that at your skill level and not worry about screwing up your ladder ranking.
Right.
And as somebody who, like, stresses way more than I should about ladder games, like, it's been a godsend having that, because, like, I don't even play ladder games in the beta right now. I've literally just been playing this unranked. And it makes it so much easier for me to just go from game to game to game to game. And when normally,
there's no pressure.
Like, yeah, normally, like, just the pressure alone, the stress of ladder games alone, like, I'll play one and then, like, wait 20 minutes before I hop into another game.
The real question here is whether Star Jeweled is going to get updated with the new units.
Is what now?
Star Jeweled. The Star Jeweled made custom game. That's Jeweled. It's, like, the most fun thing ever.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if that'll get updated. I imagine there'll be a new version of it.
Okay. That and...
And I mean, if they don't make it, somebody else features. Will, because they've already put Arcade
true.
Into the beta.
That's true.
Oh, nice.
Although all those things you listed, LAN support was not one of them. I am sad.
I think they're going to be, there's going to be, like, some sort of a LAN client or something, I believe, that I had heard them talking about, or, like, a tournament client that they'll be able to use for tournaments.
Okay.
I want to say I read that somewhere, but I can't confirm that 100%.
Because latency and connection issues during tournament matches.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually watching the IPL5 not too long ago, and when they had a match, I don't recall who it was between, but when it fucking DC'd the Observer three times in a row.
Was that was when Total Biscuit was one of the announcers?
Yes.
I was watching that, yeah.
Yeah. That was fucking horseshit.
That made me chuckle.
And, like, that was a perfect example as to why Blizzard needs to have, like, if they don't want to have LAN play in available for everybody, I can understand that to some extent.
I don't understand why they didn't just add in LAN play for tournament people, because
yeah, exactly.
I don't,
that's
I don't
the
care
thing.
If
like there
everyday
there
people
are,
don't have it, but tournaments, yeah. Come on.
There are features
new,
in this
there's
game.
Not enough people that want to play that game competitively. It's
yes,
not like
clearly.
It's one of the biggest...
I think frigging Victoria 2 has a bigger competitive proceed.
But yeah, so I want to say that they did introduce something like that, or they're planning on introducing something like that for tournaments, because, like you said, they kind of have to. After seeing a shit show like that where they eventually just had to go to commercial because it was failing so badly,
right.
And they were running
out
of abilities
to kill
time. I
mean, to be fair, those incidents are pretty far in between.
It happens at least once
a
tournament.
Occurrence.
But the thing is, it happens in so few matches, but when you play so many tournaments with so many matches per tournament, it pops up relatively
well,
frequently.
Well, and especially, like,
it happens
this way too.
To be remedied easily by just giving a fucking...
Yeah, and think of it this way too. Like, one thing, when it comes to competitive play, one factor that is very, very big factor is momentum. They talk about it a lot in the tournaments, like the commentators will talk about it. Where if somebody's on a winning streak, you know, that momentum will tend to help them out as well and to continue winning games. And that momentum is broken when suddenly games are crashing. They're having to sit there for 15, 20 minutes while they, you know, deal with these issues of getting in and out of these games. And that can hurt the play as well.
Right. It's almost like this makes sense. When, like, football matches and whatnot, like American football, not soccer football, but like when it's really getting close down to the wire and people are in this, like, this mindset of this has to get done, calling a timeout right before that happens screws with people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's the same scenario with, like, the game crashing. It's not, like, something that's intentionally happening, but it messes with a player's mind and it screws up their head.
And then they have to think about it.
Yeah. They have to, like, redo, like, okay, I have to redo this strat
yeah.
in my head.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, after you are had everything figured out.
And that was the problem they ran into with that game that we were referring to is, like, the two players, like, every time they restarted, they're like, well, do you think they're going to go with the same build? Like, they probably had to go with the same build. And the worst part about it is, at this point, they're going in with the same build knowing what the other person went with. And they have
yeah.
to just kind of ignore that they know that information. And, like, there's this kind of, like, unwritten agreement or, you know, unspoken agreement between the players. Like, we're both going to go with our same build. I'm not just going to six pool cheese you because I know what you're going with. We're just going to go on with this and play our game. And like, that shouldn't have to happen.
If the tournament comes down to a gentleman's agreement, you fucked up somewhere.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, that's what I've been playing.
So you're going to pick up Heart of the Swarm?
So yeah, I've been playing Heart of the Swarm. I'm going to continue playing Heart of the Swarm because that game is awesome. And
when
as
does
much
it end?
I think it ends like right before launch, I would imagine.
Okay, so it just keeps
got
going.
A while. Yeah, so that's got a while. So like, yeah, if anybody is actually interested in checking out that beta, like all you got to do is pre-order the game through Amazon and I think GameStop, and you get a beta.
So Amazon.
So yeah, Amazon. Like that's the best part. Like,
go to GameStop.
Well, and if nothing else, go to Amazon because you don't have to pay for it until it comes out anyway. So you get free beta access. There are people selling beta keys on eBay because people are fucking retarded. And like, just go to Amazon, put $0 down, and get your beta
key. It's kind of messed up if you cancel right before the game comes out.
Right.
Well, I mean, it is, but at the same time, like,
you could have done the same thing for Guild Wars 2, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But I mean, it makes more sense than going to eBay and paying $40 for a beta key.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like, I'm not going to be doing that. I already have my collector's edition of it pre-ordered, so that's
of course you do.
That's not happening. Of course I do.
How much did that cost?
70? 80?
Oh, that's not 80. Bad at all. Never yeah. mind.
Well, it's an expansion. It's an expansion, so like it's $40 for the base game.
It's also Blizzard expansion.
Their expansions are always
Blizzard. 40. I was expecting to be like one. I know, but I mean, I was expecting the collector's edition to still be like 120.
Oh no! It's always like double what the cost of the game is. I think.
Oh, okay. I don't buy Blizzard games, except I actually do own StarCraft. I should probably play that at some point.
Thurb, other than Cards Against Humanity, anything else, or was that all you've been playing?
Really, it's just, I mean, with the workload, I think I have one day off this week, and they're probably going to ask me to come in that day.
Holiday hours.
Yeah.
So best much time fun. Of the year.
I've been making the most of it. I have still been working on that book I mentioned like 3 weeks ago. It's just I'm not that good at like, you know, speeding through nonfiction. I'm trying to get what I can with this.
I'm reading The Hobbit.
I'm reading Peace.
I should read The Hobbit.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm like 200 and some pages. You should read The Hobbit because it's really short. It's like 300 pages. Paperback.
I'll just watch the movie.
I want to read it before I see the movie.
I've seen the movie. I should go back and read the book again before.
Wait, you've seen The Hobbit already?
I meant I've read the book is what I meant. I've read the book already, but I should read it again before the movie comes out. Sorry.
I'll say, exclusive review of The Hobbit.
It was shit.
Breaking 5 NDAs to bring you this news, Durin.
Nice. But no, like, yeah, during lunch breaks, I've been playing Cards Against Humanity with coworkers, and that's been fun. We haven't reached the this is getting stale. Weird story, though. I ordered the right when they released the new stuff with the Christmas pack, refreshed their stock in the starter pack. I ordered like 4 of them, and like I ordered like one to send back home, and like a couple for coworkers and one for me. Before that, I ended up ordering the expansion. That still hasn't shown up yet, but I got the starter packs.
Huh. I was gonna ask, have you gotten your Christmas pack yet?
No, I haven't gotten that yet.
Okay.
I don't know if I got mine because I had it shipped home and I'm at school. So
it's like according to the tracking, it's like they keep trying to send it here but failing somehow, so I have to go to the post office on a weekday. Yell at them, what's going on?
But I need my really dirty jokes.
Yeah, we opened it and said, you know, big black dick, what the hell is that about?
Or no, suspension too. It's a bigger, blacker dick. Come on.
There we go.
Get it right.
I haven't opened it yet. I don't know.
I haven't played with that expansion. I ordered it and then I opened it up. Saw the first card was bigger, blacker dick. Put it back in the box. Went yup. And just put it back in the drawer.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Durin. If assuming you still haven't gotten it for the holidays, I think summertime will be in your part of the states, at least south central, I guess.
Really?
Oh, you guys are gonna hang out?
Yeah, that's exactly.
Well, I'm meeting up with some folks in Texas. So
okay.
Try and do some. But yeah, that's pretty much what I've been doing. I've been mostly, if not that, then playing running in Guild Wars. That's
what's
a game.
That video game?
But what about my thing?
Oh yeah,
no, we don't
care. Victoria.
Oh, no, I didn't play Victoria. Oh, I did play
what?
Victoria, but that's not what I'm going to talk about.
Did you beat the guys in the Netherlands?
Oh, the Netherlands. I told you didn't exist. Doesn't exist anymore.
Noob was playing Alan Wake.
I was playing Alan Wake.
What? So what do you think of Alan Wake?
So basically,
is this your first time playing it?
Yes. My friend gave it to me. He gifted it to me in August, and I've had it paused about at 85% downloading until yesterday. And I decided to unpause the download and start playing it because I feel bad. And man, I realize I am not good with scary games. I am not fucking good with scary games. Fuck scary games.
Well, that game really tries to fuck with you too.
And the thing is, it would be a lot less scary if it was a first-person shooter. I'll say that right now. If I knew how to aim, and maybe if I had a controller, that game could be a lot less scarier than it is.
Wait, are you saying... Wait, hold on.
Wait, I'm confused. How would a controller make it less scary?
Because I'd be able to aim properly a lot better.
Are we going into this conversation?
No, I'm just saying,
because it's a third-person game, and I hate controllers. But I'm saying, like, if there was a way to aim better in that game would be a lot less scarier.
Oh, so it's not the mouse's fault. It's the game's fault.
It's just simply how
aim is. You want it to have controller support so that you could turn on some kind of aim assist.
No, I want a better way to shoot people. I want auto. I want an aimbot.
You want a lock on.
Because fuck trying to aim. It's kind of like, I'm assuming they're trying to give the impression of you're a person who doesn't know how to use a gun. So it's like, it's hard to kind of aim.
I could be wrong here, but I think it has a lock on.
It does have sort of a lock on, but I'm terrible at aiming third person, so that doesn't really help me when
my cursor is on the other side of the thing.
Yeah.
The flashlight's really the biggest thing, and once you get their thing broken down, like it's only a couple of shots and they're dead.
Oh, but the thing is, the problem is when you don't have, you ran out of flares, right? Because basically, these dark things have some sort of black shield, and you need to cut them down with light. And yeah, there's like five of them running at you. Flashlights, you can take out like two of them, and then three of them just kill you, is what happens. Fuck that.
Well, see, the biggest problem with that game is that there are areas where there's just infinitely spawning enemies.
Oh, God. And they don't tell you to just run. They just say, they might be spawning. Who knows? Just try to figure it out.
It's really unfortunate, too, because it's also a game that encourages exploration through like trying to find the mugs and the pages and everything else. Right. And you can't fucking do those. Like, I want to strangle any developer out there who does that. Like, it happens so often where you'll have a game that encourages exploration and then they try to fuck you over
if you try to explore.
It's just it's the fucking worst.
But it is a great game. And for some reason, I don't know why, but I feel like it reminds me so much of Deadly Premonition. Watching those
because they're both based on the same TV series. Or inspired by.
Ryan, I don't know. It just
that's where you're getting
very
that
clear. Interlapping, interlooping things.
It's weird because they're so different, but yet, like, because they are both inspired by that same TV show, like, you still see those similarities.
It has the same sort of feeling for some reason. Yeah. The characters feel very similar, and everything is just... And now I kind of want to play Deadly Premonition.
I need to get back to that again. I'm only a few hours.
I'm wondering whether or not I should buy the DLC. Have you played the DLC?
Was it American Nightmare?
Yeah, American Nightmare.
Well, there's that, and then there's also like the actual DLC. The American Nightmare is a standalone expansion.
Oh yes,
DLC thing. Right. But there was like the author, and there was like one or two others I think that were released. That I heard those were good too. Mm. But like none of that matters because American Nightmare is where it's at because you're in that TV show, and that TV show is like one of the best things about that game.
Oh, and just as a side note, Nightfalls? No, what is it called again? Is it Nightfalls?
Night Springs.
The television Night Springs. Skyfall? Best television show ever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what American Nightmare is based about.
I love it.
Like in American Nightmare, you are in Night Springs.
Oh, that seems so good. And the radio.
What was the thing that?
I really love the music too. Not like the ambient music, but like the music they play, just the soundtrack.
I like just about everything about that game other than the actual, like, combat.
I don't like the gameplay.
The combat is shit, but everything else about that game is great.
Right. I wish it was less
of you guys, have you heard of or seen Rod Serling, after he did Twilight Zone, did something called The Night Gallery?
I feel like I've heard of it.
It's like, not as well known, but basically, like, the premise was, is, like, Serling would start off each episode, and you would see a painting, and the painting would either have something to do with the, like, short story that he would do. It would be, like some crazy story, or it would, like, you'd see see it in the episode, and it's like, oh, that's the callback to the painting. But it'd be like, you
that
know,
sounds familiar.
Campy, scary things.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Along the same lines.
That and clear Victoria 2 thing. I got Victoria 2 working for a lot of other people, and we're planning on doing like a big multiplayer game, and I'm really excited for that. So stuff like that's actually really exciting for Victoria 2.
Speaking of big multiplayer games, some might even say massively multiplayer.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh God.
Wait, I say like, move
wait,
on.
Planet Side 2?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. MMO FPS. That's what this podcast is about, right?
Right.
Yes.
The new Halo MMO FPS.
First person story
TR,
games like
TR for life.
You mean Destiny?
Wait,
is that going to be an MMO?
Wait,
no.
There were
rumors that it was going to be. It sounds like it's
51 or what is it?
Yeah,
514.
That's 4.
There were rumors that Destiny was going to be. It sounds more like it's going to have like multiplayer tie-ins to the single player or something like that. I don't think it's actually going to be like real multi or real MMO. That would be terrible.
Also, I'm reading a book called Peace They Say, a book about the Nobel Peace Prize. Read the book. Very good book. There.
I will read it as soon as I'm done with this tome that's taking me forever to get through. It's not even that big. It's like 400 pages, but I'm like 100 in.
All right, we're an hour in.
Go for it.
We're an hour in. Guild Wars 2.
Guild Wars.
So
I guess do we want to go over
before
we go
into
the main topic. I do want to bring up one bit of news that is maybe important.
No.
I'll be the judge of this.
So Guild Wars 2 was named Time Magazine's 2012 Game
of
the Year.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I was like, huh, that's weird.
That is weird.
If I didn't have
and
opinions
like,
about Time Magazine, I guess I'd be excited, but I have opinions about Time Magazine, so I'm not very excited.
Well, that's kind of what I mean. Like when I'm like maybe good news or important news or whatever. Like who? Like
I looked at the rest of the list and it seemed respectable. Like Xenoblade was on there.
Yeah, yeah. Like looking at it, okay, these guys clearly either played some games or read some gaming forums to come up with this stuff.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't all just Call of Duty, Halo, that kind of stuff.
Halo was on there.
They
were like
going
number 9.
Off like gross product of money sent to Time.
Yeah. So I mean, like. It's really cool. It's at least cool if nothing else, like Guild Wars 2 is getting recognition. Like, it's not just... Like, media is very...
It's not just us assholes talking about it.
No, it's not that. Media is very quick to jump on anything negative when it comes to an MMO. I mean, I saw an article on GameSpot this last week where apparently NCSoft had laid off some people. But the way the article headline was like... Guild Wars 2 publisher struck with layoffs.
Right.
And it's like, I'm
like,
looking at
no,
like...
specifically Guild Wars 2
I'm like, well,
that's
okay,
getting
laid let's look
off,
at this
right.
here a little bit more here. And this is NCSoft laying people off the week of the closing of City of Heroes, which is another game that they publish.
I'll say, let's reword this. City of Heroes and Aeon publisher struck with layoffs.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's exactly what I told one of my friends. I was like, you know, this They could easily just replace Guild Wars 2 with Aeon, and it wouldn't be a headline, and that's why they put the Guild Wars 2 name in there. It's a current
or
MMO.
City of Heroes publisher, considering that's the thing that's shutting down.
Exactly,
maybe
well,
that would make
and that's
sense.
The thing
though,
no,
is we're also talking about a
GameSpot, big newspaper publisher. Yes,
mm-hmm. we're also talking about a publisher like that doesn't necessarily like NCSoft publishes a lot of fucking games like. That doesn't necessarily mean anything at all, positive or negative, for Guild Wars 2. But that's just what the media does. Like, they jump on whatever the biggest, newest MMO is, and anytime there is negative news about it, they report on it. That was probably one of the biggest things... In all honesty, that was probably one of the biggest things that hurt Star Wars. There were some negative
yeah,
things about the game in general.
Yeah, they were just trashing on them.
Right.
But the media fucking killed that game. I don't care what anyone says. That game was not as bad as the media actually made it out to be. And so, like, it's just... It's what they do. And so it's nice to see a media outlet... Granted, it's no GameStop, it's no IGN, but it is a media outlet that is at least shedding, you know, positive light on an MMO.
Right.
Seems like IGN has done a lot of Guild Wars 2 articles just from casually browsing IGN from time to time.
Yeah, and Guild Wars 2 seems to, I mean, it seems to be doing pretty well. You know, I figure if nothing else, I can gauge that Guild Wars 2 is doing pretty well because it's actually, for the most part, staying out of the media spotlight. Like,
yeah.
There's not a lot
like
of
gem stores
about
doing
it.
Well. Like, it cost me almost 10 gold to buy a bank slot. I was upset.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
Yep. Conversion rate is terrible.
Holy shit.
It would cost me like 25 gold to get the other two bank slots that I need. Not bank slots, character slots.
Yeah, okay.
So yeah, that was the news I wanted to bring up. I just thought that might be something at least worthy of mentioning.
I was like, and then I saw that they put Xenoblade Chronicles at number 2, and I was like, this list isn't terrible.
Yeah, like I saw some of the comments on there, and they're like, Xenoblade Chronicles number 2? Ugh. Like, as if it should have been number 1 over Guild Wars 2.
Five comments for the Guild Wars 2 thing.
Like, as if it should have been above Guild Wars 2. And I'm like, you know what? Right. It made it on the list. Like, that's...
Like, it's number 2.
In a year...
It's very high.
Well, and in a year of releases that we've had this year, for a game like Xenoblade Chronicles, a game that almost didn't come out anywhere outside of Japan, to have actually been released like that, like, and be on number 2 on the list, like, that's pretty fucking good. Especially being a fucking fantasy RPG.
On the Wii.
Yeah. In the age of, you know, Halo and Call of Duty.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it seemed like a pretty stand-up list overall.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there were your typical, like, Halo. I don't know if Call of Duty was on there. I don't remember. I know Halo was.
I have not seen Call of Duty on any lists.
Of course. Why would Call of Duty not?
I mean, they're not terrible games.
No.
Wait.
But, I mean.
Did you guys watch the VGAs last night? I missed
it. They didn't win best.
No, we're not discussing them.
Multiplayer.
Yeah, I tried watching some of it, but I was just like,
No, I actually watched all of it.
It was terrible.
It wasn't terrible. I will say that. Like, it was kind of boring, but like that was probably a good thing.
I looked at the winners, and the winners seemed okay.
Samuel L. Jackson did say "motherfucker" multiple times.
He
and
did.
I think that was the highlight of the night.
Samuel L. Jackson actually did a pretty decent job of doing this.
It does seem, but he did look. It just looked like he was reading off a teleprompter, and then he just decided to throw in "motherfucker" whenever he thought it got boring.
Okay, it wasn't as bad as when they brought out what actress was that they brought out? Immediately out of her mouth was her trying to like, "Hey guys, I'm a gamer. I played Mario once."
Yeah, that's said,
this category.
Yeah, they do. Like Zachary Levi plays video games. I will say,
yeah,
that, and
yeah,
stuff like that.
But like, they didn't pander to an audience that doesn't exist like they've done in previous years. They actually did a fairly decent job with the show itself.
That said, looking at the audience at the VGAs, don't look like regular people who play video games. Just saying.
No, I think half of them were hired.
There's an unproportionately high amount of women in there.
Anyway,
Guild
Wars 2.
Yeah, Guild Wars 2.
Getting us back on topic.
Yeah, there was a slew of just like updates and bug fixes. The two big things that came out of the latest patch was... in World versus World, very similar to structured PvP, if you're invulnerable or stealth, you can't stop people from capping a point now.
We're getting there. All we need now is to get rid of stealth finishing, and I am very happy.
Oh, and this week, apparently they're trying a new fix with culling, which, I mean, like, that's an issue that's ongoing. They're trying to fix it. I just like that they're actually trying, like, this week, we're going to test this stuff out. And I do like the hopefully we'll see more of them testing stuff every
week. Being said, do you guys see them doing a test server for all of this stuff? It's just sort of popping in my head now.
I would love to see something like that, but I don't think it's going
to
happen.
It'd be nice, but with the way that they can push out updates in this game compared to like other MMOs where they kind of have to pull things down, do maintenance and stuff, I don't see much of a need for a test server because they can throw the stuff out there, try it out for a few days, like, that didn't work out. Let's go ahead and pull it back off and not really disrupt the gameplay too much.
But the thing is, it's not that I care because like there's gonna be bugs in new content releases, but a lot of people bitch about bugs, and if you get a test server where you say, okay, we're gonna push this on the test server for a week,
lets the community feel like they're helping solve these issues.
The thing I will say, like, I could maybe see a test, and this may be why they're not doing it, I could see a test server for PvE content stuff, but when it comes to like love stuff, the people who like bitch and complain about bugs like you're talking about are probably not the people who are getting way into WoW.
Yeah.
Like they'd be the people who'd be totally cool
with
having this stuff online.
I think the people who get way into
WoW
are crazy anyway. But.
Well, I'm saying, like they'd be the people.
Screw you. Screw you. But no, I think the best fix for testing things on WoW is just this week we're going to try this out. I think that's like just keep it live.
Yeah, like take a slow approach to it. Like there's no reason to just rush into like, oh god, this stuff's kind of broken. Let's fix this. Let's throw it all out there, see what happens, see if it works.
I think we know Arena likes to take their time when fixing things.
Yeah, like this game isn't going anywhere anytime soon. Like they got time.
They also have really small teams working on everything, so that's probably before that.
Yeah, like you know, one guy working on class, balancing.
Well, they had one guy working on balance in the first game.
Well, yeah, but the first game was a little bit different.
No, the first game was much harder to balance because it had over 1,000 skills.
Yeah, and multi-classing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, one other issue that, or one thing that has caused some wrinkles in the community was they tried fixing jump spamming.
Ah, this was funny.
Yeah, it was actually similar to how they tried, like, stopping bots. People were doing jumping puzzles and suddenly getting booted from the game for jump spamming.
I laugh.
And, to those who don't know, what jump spamming is like, apparently people do it in World vs. World, but it's a way of climbing sheer cliff faces. You just, like, angle a certain way and just spam the jump key. And I've had a couple luck just messing around, like, in Lion's Arch, but apparently people are doing this to scale over walls and cap keeps in World vs. World.
That sounds kind of messed up.
Yeah, it was a little messed up. They've since, like, either scaled down the way of detecting it, or they've scrapped it for now and looking for another approach. But, yeah, they're trying to stop spam jumping now.
Yeah, but it was also that, and a lot of times, if you spam jump just for jumping's sake, one of them wouldn't go off, and you would just fail in a jumping puzzle because the game wouldn't let you jump. Your jumping got suppressed.
It was nice.
That happened for like a few hours, and they pushed a hot fix for it.
So yeah, that's. I mean, we're just keeping a light with updates this week. I think that's pretty much it. Do you guys anything else you want to talk about in terms of recent changes?
If you care about balance in World v. World, you are crazy. That's all I'm gonna say. That has nothing to do with recent patches. Okay, let me rephrase that. If you think Anet should balance with World v. World in mind, you are crazy.
Well, I mean, like, balance what with World v. World in mind?
You've skills deeply offended. And traits and stuff.
Sorry, none of that.
Because I hear people complaining all the time about balance in World v. World.
I'm yelling like, about never meant portal bombs.
To, yeah, it was never meant to be balanced.
Okay, yeah.
I definitely like it. It's
the kind of small balance changes that they make, like, none of that is going to affect World v. World.
That's my point.
So yeah, I agree. Like, there's no reason to, if you're gonna go down that route, just make fucking World v. World just like structured and make it its own separate thing. Like, I actually kind of don't understand why they didn't.
Well, when you go into World v. World, they've started to split skills into PvE and PvP versions. If you go into World v. World, which one do you have?
I don't know. It's a good thing to test out.
Totally look up which skills are split and test that out later.
I think some engineer skills were split, so we can try that out.
Okay, I'll hop on my engineer.
What the one thing I would like to see is just an AMA with the WoW developer, just so we can see like what their thought process is. Because I could talk for days about WoW balancing, but I also realize that none of it bloody matters because they're the ones running the show.
Because Anet does not balance with anything other than structured in mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
which is how it should be, in my opinion.
I wholeheartedly agree, Shinboy. I'm just going to keep whining.
Oh, yeah. As someone who plays PvE, I'm like, balance with PvP in mind. I'm fine over here. Just keep doing your thing. If you want to make this overpowered in PvE,
speaking of PvE...
Speaking of...
Yeah, the main topic that I really wanted to talk about is a couple of weeks ago, ArenaNet said that they're on their list of things to do in probably the updates coming in the turn of the year. Are going to be a revamping, I guess, or redesign of all the dungeons. There's going to systematically, I don't know if it's going to be all at once or it's going to go through them, but they're going to change boss fights, trash, I'm not sure, but they're changing stuff.
They mentioned changing rewards or increasing rewards as well.
Yeah. And so I just figured now would be a good time to talk about pretty much the boss fights we love, the boss fights we hate, what we'd like to see fixed, what we'd like to see stay. Just going through all the different dungeons relatively in a quick fashion, and we'll also cover fractals as well. But that's why we brought Shinboy on for today's podcast, is because he recently got, congratulations, sir, the Dungeoneer title.
Yes, oh god, that was the last run for that. Oh, nightmares.
Coupled with like getting a commander icon in an hour, so you are Commander Dungeoneer extraordinaire.
Jerk, how did you raise that much money?
He had that much money, pretty much.
I had like all these dungeons.
Why you,
If you had that much money, why didn't you donate it to the Newborama help fund his gear charity? And
if you want to hear something funny, because
you're never online.
I spent that 100 gold. I'm back up to 150.
Oh,
good lord.
You alone probably own like 50% of the Guild Wars wealth.
Yeah, Shibuya, I think I have like 3 gold right now.
True. If you want some, it's yours. You like the skin that you want to buy, and it's like a reasonable amount, I'll buy it for you. I don't care.
So what,
really?
Do you have some secret that you're doing this money with?
Oh.
Or like what is it? What is it you're doing to make this?
Oh, I think the biggest thing was that recipe you got, right?
Yeah. The big thing is we're doing Twilight Arbor because... You know, Dern, when you said you wanted to do TA for some reason, I don't remember what reason.
Yeah, for combat.
Did that one path. Yeah. So we kept going, like after you dropped, and on one of those paths, I don't remember which one. Out of a chest, I got a recipe for the Nightmare Coil, which is currently the only exotic power, toughness, vitality ring, aside from the ascended ones that you get can only get out of fractals. So it's an exotic power, toughness, vitality ring that all it takes is your standard, Orichalcum setting and band, and then 200 Twilight Arbor tokens. So, one full run of all three paths, and sells for anywhere from 20 to 25 gold a pop.
So basically, it's a well sought after thing, and the thing that's limiting it is the access to the recipe.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Because it's like you, and I think you kept mentioning there was like two other guys who would be like competing with you for getting a good price in to get the thing first.
Yeah, it was funny. I was doing it with a pug one day, and someone asked, like, what are you guys doing with the tokens from this place? Just general curiosity. And I mentioned that, and they were like, oh, what's the recipe? And I'm like, oh, it's just the setting, band, and 200 tokens. And some guy was like, oh, man, I'm going to go make that right now. I'm like, you don't understand. You need to get the recipe. It's like, you try and do that, but let me know what happens. But yeah, that's basically, I've been feeding the Twilight Arbor money machine. That's how I've made most of my money.
Well, I needed to run a bunch of Twilight Arbor, so I'm with you on that.
Every day, it's like, hey, dude, do you want to play? Do you want to do Twilight Arbor? It's like, we just did a run with you not 20 minutes ago, Shinboy. It's like,
yeah,
do it again.
Pretty much what I've been doing is like doing a run during the day, because it resets when dailies reset at 4 server time. So I'm doing one during the day, and then one at night, and then one the next day, then one at night. Just printing money. And Dern, I would make them for you, except you can't give me your tokens.
But you can sell the rings, though, right?
To make one for him, you have to run him through Twilight Arbor several times.
Well, I did run Twilight Arbor a bunch anyway, so that works out.
But the thing
you
is,
to
like,
run it with Shinboy.
But the thing is, I would need to be using my tokens for your ring, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll figure something out.
I mean, like, I have a deal, a guildy price that I'll discuss with you later.
All right.
But anyway, should we just start with the catacomb? Start with the first one?
Yes. Hart Kohler. He's my buddy.
Yes.
I wish all boss fights were like Kohler.
He is like one of the best. Just like, this isn't a gear check, this is a skill check. You have to know how to do this or you're going to get wrecked.
Yeah, you need to know how to dodge. You need to know how to line of sight. Because basically, Kohler is the common boss for all three AC paths. And he's
inexplorable.
Inexplorable. He's a thief and a ranger. It's weird. So basically, he has this big.
Well, not really, because I mean, he is a ghost, so he's from Guild Wars 1, so he is able to multi-class.
He's a ranger assassin. Okay.
I'm just saying.
But there's assassins in Ascalon and that fractal, but there were no assassins. They were only in Cantha and Lore. And anyway.
Oh my god, my immersion.
Anyway,
yeah.
Basically, he has a big AoE pole that he has a nice big tail on, and then he does basically the equivalent of the thief elite skill Daggerstorm, where he spins in place.
Spin to win.
He spins to win and pieces everyone within a small radius of him pretty much instantly.
Oh yeah, it's bad.
So you really need to pay attention to dodging at the right time and everything. But other than that, it's relatively straightforward, but it's a fun fight. So, I hope every boss is like Kohler. He can pull you across the gap, by the way, which I found out.
Oh, you mean like the Ravine of Water?
Yeah, you can get pulled across that.
Cool.
Because if you the cave troll pops and you have them fight each other, there's a side
there. Oh, yeah, the dynamic explorable? Yeah.
there's a side set of stairs that you can go up. And if you get them fighting on that side set, I was just standing there just watching them fight. I'm like, oh, wow, I can totally range one of these guys from here. I'm going to stand here and auto attack and not pay attention. And then I saw him spin. I'm like, ah, I'm over here. I'm safe. You can't get pulled across gaps. And then he hit me with the spin thing. And I flew through the air over the giant ravine and just died. And Revan turned around and was like, wait a minute. Where'd Chimboy go? Oh, wait, he's dead.
And then just proceeded to laugh at you.
Yeah, everyone proceeded to laugh at me, including myself. Because I was just thinking, you know, in Roll v. World or any other mode, if there's a gap that someone's standing on, even if you can, like, attack them, you can't pull them. So I figured I was safe. I was wrong.
I don't know, maybe it was scorpion wire. I don't know, it's... I'll have to see, get that test, just harass thieves across ravines.
Yeah, but AC is really easy. I guess it should be, because it's the first explorable, and you're all level 80. It's really easy.
But are I also there think any other fights in there that like are like solid designs? I mean, I do like the... I really like the cage on Detha. Or not the cage, but the traps.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. The Howling King is a decent boss. Ghost Eater's way too easy. It's just hit it till it dies.
Yeah.
And then Colossus Rumblus is like a more bullshit version of the Howling King.
What I like, or at least don't understand, or what I don't like, rather, is like... You go with Death over the Ghost Eater to like set up all these traps. The traps are pretty much pointless. I mean,
what do you mean?
Well, it's like you told me just never use those turrets, rather, not the traps, the turrets.
Oh yeah, the turrets are completely useless.
In the the final fight with Ghost Eater, it's just like it's pointless.
You're supposed to, I guess, according to the story of the dungeon, use them to kill the boss, but you just stand on them and they do like 2 damage. You're like, okay, I'm just gonna hop off this thing and auto attack it. Just gonna hit it till it dies.
And then, like, okay. And then for the story, I mean, I like the Ranger Nettie boss. That's a fun.
The twin boss fight is really interesting.
Oh yeah, it's been a while since I've done that.
But I think story mode for that dungeon has the coolest opening cutscene.
Oh, just with Ritlock.
Yeah,
just being all pissed.
Then he pulls out the sword at the end. And you're just like, oh shit.
Got That's real.
What I said anyway, shit just got real. But yeah, AC's fine. That's my main source of tokens. I have gear that adds up to well over 3,000 AC tokens.
Good lord.
God.
Something like that. Get that title. Dungeoneer title.
Dungeon Master title.
Dungeon Master. I guess Noob and Endurin, mm-hmm. we're going to like rapidly get to fights that you guys have no experience with. Is there anything from AC that you guys love, hate? Like to see change, want to see cap?
Well, I agree with Shinboy. Colossus Rumblus is pretty much just a kind of a bullshit fight. There's nothing fun about anything with that fight. I hope they do something. They seem to really like this idea of like line of sight breaking in a lot of the fights in at least in AC in some of them, and they're just. I hope they figure out a better way to communicate that line of sight to the player. Because there have been times where you feel like you are completely like you are behind the guy, but apparently still within his some weird like weirdly angled cone of vision, and you still die.
Especially if you do the Howling King and then Colossus Rumbles after that, you see that you're like, oh okay, I know exactly what to do for this.
Yeah.
And then you're over to the side and you die anyway, and you're just like, wow, that was a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. But
the easiest way to do those fights is actually to just melee them and run through them. In case you're wondering. So, Durin, you get to run your dagger.
Yeah.
That's what I did the other day. I ran through all of AC with dagger, and it was fantastic.
I do like the idea of, like, range is dangerous. You need to play as close to the chest as possible with this boss to get behind him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a nice mechanic. But, yeah, I think we just move on to the dungeon
with
the Blood Pact. Yes.
Yes. The dungeon.
Catechus's Manor. Catechus's.
God damn. The story mode's really easy. I'm sure the other modes are fine, too.
I do like the first boss. Like, the first time running through it, it's just insanity for anybody who doesn't know what they're doing with multiple deaths. Well, everyone was just laughing and hiding behind the right... Like, the first boss with the golem.
Mm-hmm.
Rockets flying everywhere and whatnot. So that was a fun experience. I had a good time with that.
But explorable mode...
Yeah.
Well, like, I'm sure they're fine. You have to keep in mind that I got those 3 paths done, one when we were not all level 80, and two 2, when we were not all fully geared, and 3, we didn't all quite know what we were doing. Like, even if you are level 80, it still takes a while to quote-unquote master whatever profession you're playing.
And I've actually had, like, a couple guildies who are just, like, they have trouble with some fights in AC that we think are cakewalks, but they're like, CM is fine, we did that in, like, an hour and a half.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm sure they're fine. I just haven't set foot in that place in well over 2 months because of the blood pact to never, ever do it again.
Yeah.
So what happens when you break tokens? This blood pact?
If someone breaks the blood pact before it is fulfilled, they must take their own life. That's what was decided.
Very much like a samurai warrior.
Yep.
You slit your belly.
Yes.
Throw your intestines out.
I need to order a sword like online and wait till it arrives and then take my own life.
Make
in
sure
the traditional
it's a really
manner.
Dull sword to feel out that pain.
Take my own life in a very traditional manner.
Yeah.
Get it? Manner? Caudicus's manner?
Oh, groan. I don't know. Durin, New Brahma, anything from Caudicus's?
No, thankfully I have not touched that place outside of
the
story.
I
feel like the story ending was kind of stale.
Like, I wanted Caudicus's manor armor, yeah. But no one would ever run Caudicus's, so I just can't get the armor. I hope this
just do it with pugs, whatever.
But no, what I mean, like,
pugs
not necessarily the story.
No,
but
pugs are
like,
not good at all.
Yeah.
No, do they actually do it is the question.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I see it while I'm, like, in Queensdale. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of the next dungeon we're going to do and pugs, I had someone in Twilight Arbor when I was on my Ellie tell me to not tell them how to play a warrior because I wasn't Ellie. It's like, oh, you're going down a bad road if you continue this. Because for those of you who don't know, I main a warrior and also have an 80 Ellie.
Yeah. You have a couple 80s now.
Yeah, well, my thief is in the like around 50, so she's getting there. I just can't be bothered to actually play a thief.
Oh.
Anyway.
Yeah. But no, it's like what I was saying, like... Just ending quickly on Caudicus, it's like the story, final boss, there's just a couple bosses that we're just going to talk about that are just, okay, start auto-attacking, and then I'll be back in 5 minutes after I get a drink.
Yeah.
It's
I don't know, I'm really disappointed that dungeon is the one that really sucks, because, like, fighting indoors is not something you do in, like, really tight spaces anyway, it's not something you do in Guild Wars, and I guess MMOs in general very often. And I guess that's for a good reason, because the camera just sucks when you're trying to swing it around when you're in a hallway. It's bad times. And that is probably what led to frustration more than anything else, is Guild Wars 2 is very much a game of see the red circles, get out of red circles. Mm.
Yeah.
And when you're in a hallway where the red circles cover the entire space and you cannot get out of red circles, that leads to some angriness, some cursing. Some things said that one might regret later. Yeah.
So that's Caudicus's Manor. I guess the next one on the list is the Twilight Arbors. We
fucking love Twilight Arbor. Fucking love Twilight Arbor.
I like it. It's a really solid design. You're snaking through, and it's like that is above ground, isn't it?
Sure.
Technically speaking,
let's go with that.
You just it's very much like a Zelda style where you're just in this trench the entire time.
Sure.
Just
let's go with that.
Iron Brigade.
Oh God, you mean trench?
It sounds like you are slightly disagreeing with me, Shimboy.
Wait, no, I don't.
No,
I can't
are
figure
you being
out.
Sarcastic? Oh,
okay. I have no idea what's going on. No, I think Twilight Arbor. I don't know where it's actually located. If you look, the map just sort of ends. So maybe it's like to the left of the waypoint there.
Yeah.
Anyway,
one of my favorite bosses, at least story wise, is in this dungeon, and that's like the second, basically like the spider boss.
Mm-hmm. That guy's tough.
He is tough, but I mean, like it's a mechanic that is relatively simple to grasp. Like if you stand still, you die, mm-hmm. and it's I mean for the most part a range fight. But it's
favorite
one
boss
that, like,
in that is also from Twilight Arbor story, but it's the cat lady.
Oh, yeah, the one that polymorphs people?
Mm-hmm. That's the best. Because I did it with Cynic, and he, when the boss died, was still a cat. So we stood there for another couple minutes just healing the dog that he had to kill. Just keeping him as a cat. It was fantastic. for those of you who don't know...
Pro tip, if you want to troll your friends, just make sure to set up a healing build and run...
Yeah, for those of you who haven't done TA Story, there's a boss that pretty much the main mechanic is they turn you into a cat, and there's these dogs around the room that you basically have to solo with these cat skills. And once you kill one of the dogs, you go back to your normal self. But the thing is,
whatever form you are,
when you're your normal form, the dogs are allies, so you can heal them. So if the fight ends, which was the case with us, and some person is still catified, you can just all start healing the dog and just infinitely keep them as a cat and just troll them forever. It's fantastic. You should all do that.
It's the bestest.
Yeah. Twilight Arbor, this story, the final boss of story was really tough, if I remember correctly. When you have to fight, you pretty much have to fight all of Destiny's Edge at once.
Yeah, I mean, it was the one time where you could play, or where you could kill Logan Thackeray, and I was like, awesome. But yeah, the initial fight, like the unless your group is like really well coordinated, and like we need to burst this guy down, it does get a little bit hectic halfway through there. But I think for the most part, it's a good balance of people will be falling on their ass, but nobody will be dying.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it's tough because once you kill one of them, Fowlane shows up, and you're just like, oh, I guess we should kill the ads first before we focus her, and then she's
yeah, it
just
is
like,
a little confusing. She revives
them.
Like, it's like, oh,
yeah,
shit.
Let's revive them. Oh man, maybe we should focus her. And then you focus her, and then the rest of them kill you. And it's like, well, this is quite the situation we find ourselves in.
It is a conundrum.
Yeah, but Twilight Arbor Explorable is great. Except
that's what the wiki's for. If people like are confused, they can look that up.
Yep. Hold on. We can just summarize this podcast in one phrase: check the wiki.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's that's why this isn't necessarily a wiki. This is more just like things we
general
like, things
feel
we don't like.
General feeling.
Anything
I really
see
like
change in there. Or?
In story, I haven't done it in so long. In Explorable, they need to rebalance the blossom spawn rate.
Oh yeah,
especially in that room with the worm. I'm sure. Wait, Durin, you did this with us. That room's not fun.
Which one was that?
The one with the worm boss.
Oh, yeah.
The one with the giant worm boss.
No, not at all.
That one's on every path. That's not fun.
No, that is not fun at all. That needs to fucking go.
At least
I do like it. It's the dungeon as a whole is a change from the traditional, like, talk to this person and get the path set right away, whereas you can choose your path on the fly. Like, it asks you, do we want to go left or right? And then, like, it asks you again, do you want to go up or down? It's like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, but like that worm room, if they made it so once you killed the rest of them, once the champion spawns, the other ones stop spawning, it'll still be challenging because that boss hits hard, but it won't be as dumb because like if you focus the boss, you're going to have a whole bunch of things spitting shit at you. And if you kill all those things, you're never going to damage the boss. Yeah, because it's – or at least they have to tweak the rate at which they respawn because currently even with a high DPS team, you pretty much need to focus the boss. Because if you have a low DPS team and focus the boss, you're going to have all the other lesser vines just spitting shit at you. And if you burn through the lesser vines, they're going to keep spawning to the point where you won't be able to damage the boss at all. It's really poorly balanced when it comes to that. But other than that, Twilight Arbor's fun. I have my ring that I make way too much money off of. You should buy my rings. Yeah.
Yes, now on not sale.
Yeah, or I actually don't have any up on the trading post currently because my one sold last night and I made 22 gold off of it, something like that.
Jesus.
Good lord.
That's more jelly than I've probably earned my entire time playing Guild Wars.
I earned it in about 2 hours.
Yep, fuck you too.
So basically what we're saying is you need to start paying me, I want a cut of this, for running you through TA all the time.
No, because you're getting your own rewards. You're getting your own rewards. I don't want to hear it. You're getting your own TA tokens. You can choose to do with them what you wish. Also, the shoulders, the heavy shoulders don't match with anything aside from the TA chest piece. It makes me sad because I have them and I don't know what to do with them.
I will say, and this is just like a pro tip for any char who wants to look
absolutely fabulous.
Awesome, is, yeah, one of our guildies, Rayos, basically has... Does he have just the full Twilight Arbor set?
He, I think, now has the full set, yes.
So it's just a char dressed up in the plant person. Like this is the light armor. It looks hilarious. And then his color scheme is brilliant.
He's like pink,
yeah,
lime green, and like sky blue. And it's glorious. When we were in the EB puzzle yesterday, some random guy who we helped out was just like, hey, your char, it's fabulous. And he's just like, oh, no.
He says he, apparently, like, every time he's in L.A., he gets a message from one person. Just saying,
like the same person?
Not the same person, just like every like one person at least will always just comment about his outfit.
Oh, okay, yeah, it's pretty great. So if you want to look fabulous, Twilight Arbor is the dungeon for you.
Yeah, as a char, if you're having issues trying to figure out a good set and you're clothy, go for that.
Except the male version has some really weird V-neck chest openness going on. It's kind of strange.
Again, if you're a char. accept all. Next one, I think is at least I've done a few explorer runs, but I still have yet to do the story run. Is Starro's Embrace.
Starro's Embrace story is terrible except for the last boss. Like, there's a boss that spawns all these golems at like 25 or 75, 50, and 25%. And they throw shit at you and they're annoying and I hope I never have to do that fight ever again. Except you have to in one of the explorables. Except they're all at once.
Oh no.
It's terrible. But yeah, the story mode final boss is basically the Forgeman. So you just have to like throw shit at him and avoid having lava dumped on you. Which doesn't sound too exciting, but it is. But at the end, there's the best Terminator reference in the history of video games. So you should do it. That's about it.
ArenaNet likes to have a lot of Terminator references in their stuff.
As they should. Basically, yep. Yeah, he falls into the lava and there's a giant Terminator reference. It's fantastic.
Do you remember that Guild Wars 1, what is it called, event? They had like a Terminator thing when they added the arena event, the April Fool's thing.
Oh, yes. Yes, they did. When they added the...
The Team Arena Commando. Yeah.
Oh, the Commando class. That's what it was. They had a giant Terminator. I think it was Terminator 2 specifically.
I want to know what they do with April Fools. That'd be fun.
Oh, yeah. That'll be fun. Yeah, Sorrow's Embrace.
It's coming up. Slowly.
Wait, third, which paths have you done in Sorrow's Embrace?
I've done the Dredge Mining path, and I did another one with you that involved more Dredge.
The Dredge Mining Path, is that the one with the two golems at the end?
Yes. Well, those are like four golems we just burned down, and then the two that was like, fight this guy, now fight this guy. And I did, like, the one, this actually, yeah, I do have an issue with this fight, because they shoot, like, electric AoEs at you that you just have to take the damage.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like the LE static field.
Yeah. I like the mechanic of like you have to go back and forth with the damage, because the boss, like, you can actually hurt the boss, but he just buffs one golem to make it invulnerable, so you have to hit the other one and then back and forth.
Yeah,
and it's like that alone is cool. They could do some big, like, you know, shots or just do range attacks, but like I would dodge evade the like projectile and still get hit with the AoE.
Yeah, because the projectile would land where you were, so, you know, start up the static field, and then you would dodge into the static field. And bad times.
Yeah, sad face ArenaNet, because that's, I mean, that's not
the
cool.
The main mechanic in that fight, the bouncing between the two bosses at the end, is actually really neat.
Yeah, I love that.
That features in another path, actually, in one of the other ones, after you fight the three golems, I don't remember which one it was. After you fight the three golems at once, there's a champion and a legendary in the same room.
Oh, and they snap. Both,
and the legendary spawns veterans. It's intense. But the way we ended up doing it is we cheesed the hell out of it. You can apparently pull the champion by itself, and we just sort of walked out of the room with the champion. And there was like two staircases that formed like a 90-degree angle with each other with a pillar in the middle. So we had Revan jump up on the pillar, grab the boss's attention, and just stand there so he couldn't get attacked while we killed the boss.
Wow.
You know, video games. And it was funny because he died up there, and I was using my banner, and I'm like, I wonder if this kind of physics will work, because I couldn't target the top of the thing because it was below me. So I targeted the side with my banner to res him, and the banner flew in sideways, was stuck in the side of the pillar, completely horizontal, and it rezzed him. It was
nice.
Great. It somehow worked.
Sounds crazy.
I'm like, one. as I was casting it, I'm like, I wonder if this cockamamie physics is going to work. And it did. So yeah, warrior banners. You can have fun with them by placing them in strange places. That sentence taken out of context could be kind of weird.
Yep. No, not at all. Yes, big time. But no, it's one thing I will say that I love about Sorrow's Embrace, that it's just I'm slightly motivated to run the dungeon, is the cloth helmet is basically a stormtrooper helmet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
And like, if I ever got off, you know, my ass and just started making a set that was basically a stormtrooper set, it would work. But I don't know.
One of the, I think it's that dungeon, does a really good job at storytelling compared to the other ones, because it doesn't stop and give you the stupid cutscenes as much, but it gives a lot of the storytelling over a PA system, which is something that the fractals do really well.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just like ambient in the environment, telling the story of the place instead of having to stop and have the side-by-side cutscene that everyone just skips anyway.
Yeah.
And, well, except for me, and then Shinboy is yelling at me that like, you need to press, you know, skip for the cutscene. It's like, no, but I want to watch it. And then I end it, and then there's this naked Char in front of me.
No, it wasn't that one that I was pissed off. It was at the end, one of the bosses, the end boss in Twilight Arbor is all the same, but it's a different version of it. And two of them spawn ads, and one in particular, they follow you around. So we're all running there trying not to die, and Thurb is sitting in the cutscene. I'm just like, Thurb, get out of the cutscene. Thurb, get out of the cutscene. We're all going to die. Get out of the cutscene. And then he gets out of the cutscene, we get our rewards, and then we all die. It's fun. No, you can actually troll people that way.
If you stayed in the cutscene, you would have been invulnerable.
I would have been. But everyone else would have died, and they would have yelled at me, and I don't want that to happen. I don't know. Yeah. Sorrow's Embrace, I did each path once just so I could get the title. Then I don't know if I'm going to go back in there. Maybe for the Stormtrooper helmet eventually.
Yeah, hopefully they add some stuff that makes it like really interesting. Not that I, like, you know, there's anything that isn't interesting in that fight. It's just...
See, this is what we were talking about before with revamping the dungeons and everything. This is their biggest problem, in my opinion. If you don't want to go for the title and you don't want the gear specifically from that dungeon, there's absolutely no motivation to actually do them.
Here's the reason why I don't want to do that dungeon. It's the trash. I see it enough in World vs. World. I really just don't want to fight a bunch of dredge where there's like three veterans that will hit the gong and give everyone in the group a 30-second, like, you know, protection and regeneration and damage. And it's just like, wow, this makes this fight so much more annoying since we aren't doing as much damage to them. It's just...
It's like, not difficult. It just takes forever.
No, yeah, it's not hard. It just makes the thing take freaking forever. And then, like, once they do that buff, they go around, like, stunning everybody.
Yep. I think Durin and Noob need to come on more dungeon runs with us so they can share horror stories.
I will say I've grown to hate dredge in general.
Yeah, yes. Dude, fuck dredge.
The dredge tonic is scary!
I kind of regret freeing the dredge in Guild Wars 1 Slaver Exile. I think we should have just killed the dredge along with the Storm Summit dwarves. Like, what did we gain by freeing these blind moles?
Didn't we free the dredge in Sorrow's Furnace?
Sorrow's Furnace?
Like, yeah. Sorrow's
Wayback Machine?
Yeah. In, well, like, in sort of in the Explorable, aren't they, like, trying to...
No, not Sorrow's
Rise
Embrace.
Up
Sorrow's Furnace.
Oh.
No, Sorrow's Furnace was something else. Wayback, yeah. Sorrow's Furnace was, wasn't that something else?
Or was that the Etten?
No, because basically the dredge were being, what is it called, enslaved by the Stone Summit, and then in the Eye of the North, whatever it's called,
Slaver's Exile,
you killed Duncan the Black and then free the... No?
No, you didn't kill Duncan Black, you put Pain Inverter on him and then caused an infinite loop of damage that killed you instantly, and you laughed. Because he reflected damage, and then you put Pain Inverter on him, which reflected damage that he dealt, and then you just hit him once and you would instantly die. It was fantastic.
Oh god,
mechanics, they're great. God. Yeah, Sorrow's Embrace, I don't know, it's a thing.
Yep.
What's next? What do we got next?
On the list is the Char hometown fight.
The best cutscene in the game. You mean?
Was it Citadel of Flame? I just know it's COF.
It's Citadel of
Char. Flame, Char on fire is what I call it.
Cathedral of Flame in Eye of the North.
That's what it is.
It's Citadel.
It doesn't look like a cathedral.
Yeah. Well, it's Citadel of Flame now. It was Cathedral of Flame.
Oh, it was anyway. Royal?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. No, it was religious.
So, guys, I want to interject for just a second, and then I'll let you get back to COF. But I just want to point out that Cynic totally was around. He was just fucking in the...
Yeah, I know, right?
Goddamn,
I was going to point out.
Persona 4 golden thread posting it up in there, so...
Right, it's like 3 minutes ago.
Oh, no.
It's self-confessing. Oh, no. Persona 4 golden thread. Well, 2 minutes ago, self-confessing. Like, there's on the front page, there's of Giant Bomb Forums, three of the top five recent posts were from Cynic talking about Persona 4.
That ass clown.
Oh, okay, sorry, continue.
What the hell? Let's see. Out of the on my friend stream, let's see. One, two, everything except for one thing is Cynic. Jesus Christ.
1 hour. We have messaged him. We have asked him, like, are you coming on the podcast? And he's like, no. Crickets.
He was just offline on Steam.
Crickets while he was posting on the forum. How dare you?
I mean, look at him. A dude has a knife. But yes, I hope it's usable. I'm just reading his posts.
Hashtag shots fired.
Hashtag.
He posts images and everything. What a son of a bitch.
That son
of
a bitch.
And the best part is, even though he's going to edit this, he won't actually hear any of this.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck you, Cynic.
That's basically what I learned while doing all these dungeon runs, is fuck you, Cynic.
Yep, that is the underlying key.
Yeah. I believe you might have even said that a few times on some dungeon runs.
No, only in fractals.
Oh, okay.
But we'll get to that.
We'll get to fractals. We'll get to fractals.
God, fractals.
But yeah, it's COF. The story is cheesy as hell, but it's awesome.
It's so campy and great, and I love it. And we should totally do that after this run. Go back through COF Explorable, just so you two who haven't done it.
I
mean, not Explorable story. Oh,
but anyway. Yeah, I'm down for COF story.
I'm not gonna spoil it. This is actually the one story mode I really don't want to talk about because everyone should just do it and experience the greatest cutscene in the game.
Yeah, and then furthermore, it has one of the best like final story boss fights. Like it's a great design. I really hope they keep it.
It's great because it's not dependent on your build
damage
or your gear or
yeah.
anything.
It's just like everyone has to work together to get like to do these actions to get everything done, and it's nothing to do with skill.
Well, true, a lot of the better boss fights seem to be in story modes, which I don't know if that's by design or just is how it worked out.
If only they had better rewards in the story dungeons, we'd do them. But
yeah, I think one weekend we're just gonna pick and go through all of the story modes. I'll do it on an alt.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That way, because it's really annoying when I'm on my Ellie. I'm like, hey, does anyone have story mode in this so we can actually get into Explorable? And then everyone said no. And then I have to switch over to my warrior and then boringness. 100 blades every 6 seconds and then the dungeon's over. Yeah. Explorable is interesting. This is one of the ones that had to change because people were farming it. Specifically, Path 2. You can still farm it. Just with the diminishing returns, it's not as worthwhile. Path 1 is really easy. Path 3 is not.
Yeah, I'd say I've only done, like, the only time I was able to get a group for them was when they were doing, like, that, when it was still, we're just farming this one path over and over again.
Yeah, if you look at map chat in Lion's Arch, you'll see, you know, farming, looking for group Honor of the Waves, looking for group AC. Then you'll see looking for group COF path 1 and 2 only. Because no one wants to do path 3.
Sad face.
Because path 3 is really annoying. And the first room is the hardest room. Because there's these torches all around. In COE, which we'll get to, do you know the mechanic where you needed to shut the lasers off?
Oh, yeah.
Imagine that, but spread out across a large room with infinitely respawning adds that are right next to the control panels.
And it's, I assume when you hit the control pad, it like interrupts
your attack. What do you mean? Oh, if it interrupts you.
Yeah. While everyone's trying to sync up and like turn the thing off, it, like if they hit you, it cancels it.
Yeah.
That's a little annoying.
What we do is anyone who's listening to this who wants to get into dungeons, make sure you do this heart quest. It's in the char starting area. It's just south of the little town, whatever the hell that town's called. It basically involves you killing a whole bunch of ghosts. And the heart vendor, the Karma Vendrafter sells these things called Ash Legion Spy Kits.
Yeah.
Which let you stealth for 10 seconds, provided you don't move. But you can still channel things. So basically the way it works is we all synchronize when we're going up to these things. All run up to them, use our Ash Legion Spy Kits, and start channeling so the things don't aggro us. It's really cheesy, but it works. Sometimes. Yeah, don't do Path 3. It's bad.
Okay, so they need to fix Path 3.
Yes, that, and there's a protection event where, similar to World v. World Rescue UP, you need to capture a point, and once you hold the point, you need to hold it through five waves of enemies, which doesn't sound like a big deal until you realize that the enemies spawn inside the point.
Yeah, I don't like that. I would like to see, like, just maybe like some of the like the types of dynamic events we see in the world brought into the dungeons, like, you know, hold a point. But yeah, if they're spawning right in the room, that's not cool, bro.
Yeah, and there's a lot of them, and they're those really stupid, hey, I have this giant flamethrower on my arm, you're going to die now.
I hate those guys.
And there's like four of them at once.
Ugh.
It's bad. It's real bad. They cripple you, yuck, and then burn you, and then you die, and then you're really upset at everyone, including ArenaNet. But yeah, the other two paths are really easy. Path 2 is still fun. Although I do like the final bosses on all three paths. One of them, you just pretty much kill till it dies. The other one, you don't aggro the boss at all. I mean, you don't hit the boss itself at all. And basically need to hit a big crystal in the middle, which is kind of neat. And then the third one, there's just some guy who just does a whole bunch of knockbacks, but there's lava everywhere, so you don't want to get knocked back. Otherwise, you will go into the lava and die. It's interesting. It's fun. Yeah, that's about it. COF. Easy, hard.
Next one, we're getting to a lot more of the ones that I have history with, just because I guess we would like doing the higher tier stuff.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know.
High-end PvE. Serious business.
Woo. Cheering. Honor of the Waves. I can just hear, like, us mentioning it. At the time of, like, you know, Riven will be listening to it, we'll hear just a groan emit from across the...
Wow, what's wrong with Honor of the Waves?
...the country. He just hates the water pass.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I don't blame him.
I don't mind him. I mean,
well,
like,
he
like
hates underwater
there.
Combat, though, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well, see, that's...
Yeah.
As do a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean,
I agree, it's
work.
Definitely better than most MMOs, but it is underwater combat.
I don't know, combat against a boss is kind of annoying.
They liked using spear underwater as a mesmer, and I'm like, but you only get, like, three out of the five abilities are useful. The other two
Which mesmer weapon throws music at people?
That's the trident, the staff
okay,
version.
That's the one I would use.
Yeah, well, I mean, I like using that, but the damage is laughable.
It doesn't matter. You throw music at people. Kill them with the sound.
He has a point.
That seems like a Paragon move.
Kill them with rock.
It does. Yeah, I wish you could just import certain music into that skill, and I would just have just the heaviest of metal throwing it at people.
Just have AC/DC them, like, just screaming.
Yeah, I would just pick, like, not even a song that I like, just pick, like, the heaviest death metal I could find and just throw that at people in PvP.
All right, right on. But yeah, it's, like, there's a lot of solid boss fights in there. I definitely love the, oh god, what's the one where it's the guy who puts people in, like, ice blocks and you have to, like, break the ice block while he's healing or something, or while he's beating you up?
There's one like that in COE. I don't remember how it was. You know which path it was?
I'm looking it up now.
Because I know Path 2 does not have that. That's the Butcher. No, Path 1 is the Butcher Path. I don't remember. The Butcher Path doesn't have it. The Butcher Path is also really easy. If you're going to farm Honor of the Waves, do the Butcher Path. It takes like 20 minutes. Oh, and I figured out, you know how for a while we were confused as to why no ads were spawning on the Worm Boss and the Butcher Path? Turns out it was Cynic's fault.
Oh, nice.
Because there's a whole bunch of random enemies in the room with that boss, and they're having, like, some sort of conversation. I don't remember about what. And you pretty much
basically,
go in there.
Basically saying about how many, like, you know, bears they've beaten up.
Yeah, let's go with that. And pretty much you kill all the ads, and then the boss turns hostile and you kill him. Turns out if you let that conversation finish, the ads will keep spawning all throughout the boss fight. and Cynic wanted to let the conversation finish. So he's the one who was the cause of the infinitely respawning ads.
So what you're saying is skip cutscenes?
I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb here and say that maybe ArenaNet might be at fault here, because you shouldn't be punished for wanting to hear all of the dialogue that they recorded.
Yeah. Yeah, but I just like to blame things in Dungeons on Cynic.
Well, I mean, yeah, I get
that.
Yeah,
that's fine.
So, I mean, who doesn't like to blame things on other people? Come on.
I'm a good person.
Especially on Australians.
Yeah. I mean, they are playing it while upside down, so.
True. Yeah.
They're at a distinct disadvantage right away. Yeah, Cynic's fault. The rest of that path is easy. The underwater paths, they're okay. You can pull the boss out of the world in one of them. At least you could last time I did it.
What?
Yeah, there was a spot to do it, but whenever we tried, finding him underwater was so much better. It's like they actually planned, like, people will try to get him above water, and he just...
So wait, you're saying the boss that's underwater is easier to fight while underwater? You don't say.
It's madness, I know.
Things are easier if you do them the way they're designed to be done? Who knew? Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, the trash is a little bit, like, of a rough fight underwater, just because I guess people are getting...
In one of the paths, they throw two legendaries at you back-to-back for no apparent reason. And they're both really annoying.
Arena likes to just throw two legendaries at you. They're mean.
And they're, like, the same exact one. It's weird. They're, like, the big, giant, corrupted Oakheart things. But they have way too much health and take way too long.
Wait, corrupted Oakhearts underwater?
No. This was on, like, the bow of the ship, and then you go underwater right after that. Because you have to remember, the ship is sinking, so the parts that are, quote-unquote, underwater should not be. So, yeah, they're right on the front, and then you go back inside, and there's, like, water right there.
Gotcha.
So water right behind the bow of the ship, normally not good.
Yeah.
I'm no maritime expert, but that seems like a bad idea. Also, I feel bad for that NPC, because he's destined to stand outside that dungeon for all of eternity and just tell people how his home is sinking.
That's really depressing.
Right? I'm like, oh, man, I feel bad for you. Yeah. Honor of the Waves is fun. I have the helmet from there. It's really funny. It's just a big old wolf head thing. I really like that gear, and it has some nice stat spreads. Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and guess the light armor looks bad.
I don't remember.
It pretty much does across the board, so.
The dungeon, it sucks.
I think ArenaNet got a lot of, heard a lot of people giving props to it, but just the idea of fighting on a giant iceberg with just, like, the Codan buildings and all that is cool as all get out.
Also, I like that a lot of the dungeon is slanted.
Yes.
Oh, really?
It's slightly annoying, awesome. But at the same time, it's like, okay, this makes sense.
But I think it's awesome that it's slanted.
Is it because, like, you're actually in the sinking ship? Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Wow. Okay, yeah. I got to run that place.
The ship, it's not called Honor of the Waves because of a story or whatever. The ship is called Honor of the Waves.
Okay.
Because Codan have strange names for everything. Funny sidetrack story. Me and a friend of mine were discussing, for some reason, we got on the topic of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and if he was in Guild Wars, what would he be? And I said he would be a Codan named People's Elbow.
Oh, wow.
I don't know, I thought that was funny.
Nice.
Yeah. All Coming right. soon, when the Codan are more expanded upon, one called People's Elbow, calling it now. ArenaNet, you're welcome.
Yes, yeah. ArenaNet, please make that happen. Because they listen to every single episode.
Hey, we're going to have... We got something coming up.
It's a secret!
We got something...
We aren't hinting at anything. next dungeon on the list, Crucible of
Eternity. This place looks awesome. There's that.
Yeah.
The big center room is very Star Wars-y.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
The teal lights.
Like the upper amphitheater or whatever?
Yeah, where you don't really do anything in there. You just sort of walk through it.
Yeah, it's like the room where we had to fight the waves of undead, right?
Yes.
I think they called that the cafeteria, actually.
That's a great name. For it. Also, the aquarium is in quotes. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Nothing else is in quotes.
I haven't fought the front door path, the final boss, which is basically there's this room full of lava. It's a really tricky fight.
You weren't there for that when we did that?
I was there when we cheesed it.
but apparently they fixed it.
Oh, okay. I haven't done that one since.
Yeah, it's so that one I can't comment upon. At the time, I was like, this is terrible as I'll get out. This needs
basically
to be fixed.
There's like three lasers, and you need to fire them all at the boss at the same time, and they're all up
which leaves
top.
Like two people for DPS.
Yeah, because you need to constantly be firing these things, and you can't attack the boss like from that vantage point. So
yeah, and if you try going down to fight him like normally, if people are not on top, or actually I think even if people are on top of managing the lasers, he will just like make a bubble show up that pushes you into the lava. And so it's like, okay, I might get a few shots in, but then I have to run back because, you know, the waypoints are just far as I'll get out that far into the dungeon. And so it's like, okay, you guys keep working that laser because thank God his health doesn't regenerate when no one's attacking him.
And yeah, but just like, so you basically had three people on the lasers, then me and a ranger down on the bottom with max range longbow. And I was not even attacking. I was just buffing the ranger. And we literally had one person attacking the boss for the entirety of the fight.
Worst part was, that took about the same time as a normal fight does.
Yep, which is weird. But the other paths, Submarine Path, I think it is really good.
Submarine, I think that's the one with the Norn fight at the end, which is a lot of fun.
They just fixed it.
It's a little buggy. Yeah.
Apparently in the last patch they fixed it. I haven't done it since. Basically, there's a whole bunch of electrified pillars around the room, and he does like the warrior greatsword charge move. And you pretty much need to stand next to the pillar, and when he charges at you, move behind it, and he'll run into the pillar and get stunned.
Or just dodge him as he's charging. But it's just like playing El Toro with the bullet. It's like he has a crap ton of armor, so you're doing 2 damage to him while he's not stunned.
Quite literally 2 damage.
Yeah.
And then when he charges and hits the thing, the buff goes away, and then you do your normal damage, and he dies really quickly. Mm-hmm. But that fight's really well designed. That's another one that I hope they do more stuff like that. Like him and Kohler. Are both 2 really well-designed bosses.
What do you think of the Subject Alpha? First off, Durin or Noob, have either of you guys done COE?
No, I have not.
The next dungeon, I know Durin attempted it with us, and that went swimmingly.
Yeah, that was...
Aura. Yeah, we'll get to that one. But Subject Alpha, I do like the idea of a boss that it's more or less that he is the face of COE Explorable. Because you see him like 3 times in every run, and so he's just like, he's the main bad guy.
He is. But my main problem with Subject Alpha is, you know the first room that you fight him in for most of the paths? It's like the big long room?
Mm-hmm.
That is perfect for that boss. But I'm pretty sure the end of both Front Door and the Experimental Teleporter path, the rooms that you fight him in at the end are way too small. So you're
the
entire floor is covered.
It's like, it's multi-tiered, and so... What often ends up happening is he ends up getting stuck in the middle, and so range has to get really close to, or otherwise they're like obstructed, and it ends up just getting into a bad place, and a lot of people die. The second set, I think you fight him in, there's like some obstruction, there's like pillars in the way, but for the most part it's okay.
Yeah, but my main problem with Subject Alpha is not the fight itself, it's the rooms that you fight him in.
Yeah. I love the Subject Alpha fight, just like especially the first time you fight him. It's you're constantly having to move, you're constantly having to be ready to dodge. But yeah, I agree. Some of the
that's another that's another one that could be really really great, but there's a few things here and there. The rooms that you fight him in and the imprisonment crystals are both really dumb.
The another boss in that dungeon is the plant one. That's a little crazy. Yeah.
Oh, where you need to get the bombs to go off next to him?
Yeah, you need people doing it's another fight like the Char on Fire dungeon that like it's not necessarily damage or gear check. It's people just generic of whatever class they need to be doing this and people need to be doing that. And it's like we got to be like clearing all these shrubs as they respawn. And other people need to pick up these weapons and, like, manage this stuff.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of mini-bomb golems that, like, if you go near them, they'll get set off.
Yeah, it's like it's the only way to damage the boss.
Yeah, and they're also the only way to damage the boss. So there's these guns around the room that when you use them on the bomb golems... I read up on it afterwards after we did it the other day, and apparently it only works once per golem. That's why we're taking forever to do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Then after that, they just don't listen. There's like, lol, no. You basically use it on the golems, and they make a beeline right for the boss. That's how you have to do it. But the way we ended up doing it at the end, it's pretty much just kiting them around until they got near the boss. Then we would run up to them and set them off, thus damaging the boss. It was interesting.
Yeah.
It's cool because you don't actually...
would help, but yeah, it was a fun fight.
Yeah, once you figure it out, it's cool because it's one of the boss fights where you don't actually touch the boss at all and he doesn't touch you. It's really weird.
I would like to see, like, we see that a few times in Arrah, but there's
but like
a lot
because,
of good quality fights in there.
Because the one thing that can kill you in that fight is also the thing that you need to beat the fight.
Yeah.
That, I think, is a really cool design and something that I hopefully see them iron out and expand upon. And then there is Arrah.
Was there anything left in COE?
No, COE's done. It's subject
the story mode is a bit of a joke. I mean, it's just like, from what I remember through the nightmares, it's just a ton of range guys that are shooting at you that, like, one-shot you.
No, that's only the last boss.
In story?
Yeah.
I thought there was a... like,
you're no...
rifleman.
There's a bunch of them in Arrah that dominate you. Maybe that's what you're thinking of.
Maybe, I don't know. But yeah, let's move on to Arrah.
Arrah. So Durin, what do you remember from Arrah?
I remember dying a fucking bunch and
yep.
getting really fucking pissed and fucking raging out of it about 30 minutes into it.
Yep, that sounds about right. If you don't have a good team.
Well, it was mostly, I think, the one of the bigger issues was you guys had just gone through your run of Arrah the night before, so I don't think any of you were mentally
prepared.
Oh, you're
right. That's the night after Seer's Path.
Yeah, I don't think any of you were mentally prepared to run that place again. And I was not mechanically prepared to run that place because I had been away from the game for a few weeks at that point.
Yeah. Nor
was I gear prepared. So,
yeah. But, I mean... you can actually go through that whole loop because fight without getting hit. It's just tough. Mm. And that's the fight, if you don't remember, where we ended up just saying, no, we're done with this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the Arrah story is fun.
The sequence where we had to like carry the bomb from one thing to another was actually really cool.
Once I finally
stopped fucking it up.
Yeah. That's actually, I mean... I wouldn't say it's gotten to the point where we get that flawlessly, but that's still, even though we get through it most of the time and we know what to do, it's still really fun. Especially, it's actually more fun when you screw up. It's just like, because, you know, you see the guy do this big old wind up and everything, and then he throws it about half a foot because you screwed up your targeting.
Well, it was annoying because, like, I just could not get it through my head that, like, you're not targeting where you want it to, where you want that person to be standing. You want to target past them because otherwise you are literally.
Are you saying
it at
the sports champion in you did not come out and decide you need to actually hit the person like in the chest as opposed to throw it right at their feet?
Turns out, yeah. I think I did
sports
that like
champion
times.
And all of us video game playing guys did not come out.
No, it was my video game guy being like, drop the targeting glyph on the character and it'll be good, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's what you would think, but no. You would think, oh, this guy's standing here. I want you to throw it here.
Yep, pretty much. Nope.
One time where video games were not video games. Yeah, that's really fun.
So that was pretty much my only real experience with that place.
Yeah, you have to run with us again, because we've pretty much got that Lupicus fight down to the point where we're getting no grubs on him, and he's going down pretty easy.
Oh, man.
Except for, like, do you still have the issue where, like, the one will just spawn right on top of the NPC and just like, well, crap, we can't stop
that. That's just, that was just Seer's Path.
Oh, okay.
Because
nice.
That's the only NPC that's melee.
Ah, I gotcha.
Because, you know, the grubs spawn on the people in the party, including the NPC, and normally you stay at max range, so you have a little time before he gobbles it up. But, you know, if it spawns right next to him, he's going to be like, this thing looks delicious, and then just pick it up and eat it, and then you're done.
Yeah, it's like fast food.
Yeah, pretty much.
I want some pizza.
story mode is really awesome.
I like everything before you get airborne.
Oh, no, I think it's fine once you get airborne. The events in the air are really awesome, if not tedious.
Yeah.
They're really awesome. They're really cool, at least to look at. The thing that a raw story mode is good at, more so than I think anything else in the personal story, which I know you've touched upon in other episodes, is like you feel like shit's going down. Like, okay, this is it. Until the end, and then you're disappointed by the last boss fight. Or the lack thereof. But yeah. I don't know. I feel like most of the other events, including the shooting things in the air, as well as a few of the boss fights on the ground, like the mouth one was pretty interesting. It's just, I don't know, I feel like the success of a raw story mode is less about the mechanics and more of the atmosphere of it. Because, like I said, it feels like you're at the end, like this is it, which I think they did a good job of. But that last boss fight, just go AFK for 10 minutes and then come back and you beat the game. I don't know. Has anyone besides me actually done story?
Like, yeah, I have. Story? And it's, I mean, it is nice that they rushed and had an actual, like, you know, there is an ending to the story when the game was, like, shipped. But I just wish they had taken more time working on it.
It's, I don't know, I feel like most of the dungeon is fine except for the very, very end.
Yeah, that's the one issue.
Yeah, which you would think would be the part that would be the best, but disappointment. I am disappointed in the Zaitan fight. Spoilers, you fight Zaitan.
Oh, shit.
What?
What?
Big old pop-up that shows up, slay Zaitan or kill Zaitan or something like that. Yeah.
But yeah, the story mode is, it's a story mode. It's fun. Go in with some guildies, have a campy old time. The explorable, there's definitely a lot of, like, really good boss fights. Some boss fights that we have issues with.
Awesome!
That we've talked about in earnest in other podcasts.
Yeah, Mersot Path is great. If you want a good balance, because we normally do Forgotten Paths just because it's the shortest and easiest, if we wanted just going in for tokens. But Mersot Path, if you're doing one just for straight up fun, and you don't care how long it takes, do Mersot Path, because Mersot Path is great.
Like, once the holidays are over, I will come to you asking to do that.
Yeah, the boss fights in there are very entertaining. They have cool, unique mechanics. Like, there's one that spawns a whole bunch of illusions, and then when they come back to the center, you need to, like, get behind these, like, barrels and bales of hay and everything to protect yourself from it, because it's basically a one-hit kill. But each time the boss does it, it removes one of them. So it's like, in the meantime, you're like trying to DPS race to get the boss down while also trying to fend off all the illusions. It's really fun. I found a spot where you can't get hit, but that's a separate topic. That's me cheesing the dungeon.
So I guess we'll now go just through the fractals and then...
No, hold on. One last thing. Don't do Jotun Path, because every single boss, every single one is bugged horribly. One of the bosses... It has a mechanic where you get tarred and you need someone to, like, pour this. It's basically, I think it says 300-year-old whiskey on you, which is always a good decision in every situation. And it's supposed to set you on fire, but get you out of the tar. But when we tried it, it just set you on fire.
Oh, shit.
And when, if you were, like, down and you got tarred and then you rallied off of something, you would not have any of your skills and would need to relog to get your skills back.
Oh, good lord.
Yep. And this was happening in the middle of a boss fight.
So, how do you guys feel about them going through and doing this revamp of these dungeons and stuff when some of them are still broken and we still don't really have a feel on how those mechanics will actually work out? Like, are they just going to replace these before they have a chance to actually, you know, play them through? Or, I mean... It seems a bit early.
I don't
know, because
I could see them doing something like, okay, we want to revamp the dungeon system as a whole, and these ones are broken. Instead of fixing them and then revamping them, let's just revamp them.
I suppose, but I mean, I feel like there could be some that could actually be, you know, interesting boss fights that we'll never know because they never bothered trying to fix them. I guess I can't say they never bothered trying.
It could be interesting.
They just never did fix them and instead are just going to do this.
Because, like, I saw the thing that kind of pissed me off was I was looking at the patch notes from this past week when they fixed a lot of the things in Fractals and Dungeons. A few bugs here and there in each dungeon. and I looked at a raw and I saw it was listed, and I was like, oh good, they finally fixed Jotunpath. It turns out they just fixed an exploit in one of the other paths that I didn't even fucking know about.
Yeah, and see, that's the other thing too I've been noticing is like a lot of these fixes have been like, they're fixing exploits, but they're not actually addressing the real problems with these dungeons, like making them completable.
Yeah, because Jotunpath, there's the last boss is you basically grab crystals that reflect the projectiles back at the boss. That's the only way to do damage. And there's like a ring of fire around that gradually gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And these crystals break, so you normally have a few as a backup just in the room. But the thing is, the NPC in their infinite wisdom will just run into the ring of fire or not move when it gets smaller and will die. And if they die, the door that you need to go through to get the rewards doesn't open. So you killed everything, but you can't get your reward.
Great.
It's weird.
That reminds me of a dungeon that we ran. I forgot which one it was, where... Actually, I think it might have been one of the fractals, so I may be getting ahead of myself, where the boss ended up dying like on a high ground, and so we couldn't actually even loot the boss.
Oh, that was a fractal. I think I was there. I think I was with you for that.
Okay.
I think I was with you for that. I think that was a snowblind fractal, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
But yeah, this path, though, and Rayos talks about this all the time because he was on that one, and he was eventually him and Chrysarian both got through the door. This dungeon is so fucking busted that you can outbug the bug. Like,
snap.
The door that doesn't open, if you have a thief or a mesmer, and apparently it works with an Ellie with Lightning Flash too, you can glitch your way inside the left part of the door frame, and then thieves with dagger pistol can spam like Shadow Shot or whatever that is, and Heartseeker, just spam them back and forth to glitch your way through the rest of the door frame and into the room.
Jesus.
So the path is so busted that you can outbug the bug. It's great. And interestingly enough, that was the last path I needed for both my Ara leg armor and for my Dungeon Master title. So I was just auto-running into the door, just yelling, "Why won't you open?" Because I couldn't do anything as a warrior, and while the thieves were trying to do their thing, I was literally just standing there, and every so often I would just attack the door. Just yelling at it, just like, "Open, goddamn it!" Just yelling at it, trying to will it open. Yeah, that didn't
work. Oh, that's great. That's great.
No, it's not. It should not happen in that way.
No, you're right, it's not. Like,
and what probably end up happening is they'll fix the bug before fixing the door issue.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they'll fix the exploit before actually fixing the major issue.
So, yeah, probably.
It's hopefully
just replace
it
with
a whole new
boss fight. Maybe that's what'll happen.
I guess.
Time will tell.
Or, I mean, they could just leave the door open and just not have the rewards trigger until you kill the boss.
There's that makes too much sense.
You don't leave the door open. Were you raised in the barn, Shimboy? You never leave the door open.
My point is, there's no point to going in that room other than to get your rewards and to see the conclusion of like the story of that path. There's no enemies there. There's no bosses there. There's no puzzles there. It's just a room with a thing that's important to the story that I'm not going to say in it. Like, I don't
really
understand.
Want to do this path.
I mean, important to the story of that path. Because all of the Ara paths deal with a specific race and their relation to the Elder Dragon's Rising. So a bit of a spoiler here for the Mersaat path. Actually, major spoiler for the Mersaat path. Do you guys care if I spoil it at all, the end?
Not really.
Not really, no.
Yeah, okay. I mean, folks can just, like, mute for a minute or two.
Yeah.
Basically, the last boss is out of phase, quote-unquote, and you need to go into the same phase as them, and that's how you damage them. And it turns out that at the end, which I thought was really awesome, that the Mersaat, everyone wondered what happened to them. It turns out that when the Elder Dragons, like, started to awaken, they, like, created this some sort of weird-ass fucking phase portal and, like, went to another dimension of crazy nonsense to get away from it all. It was weird. Huh. I thought it was interesting. Like, they pretty much went, like, a half step out of phase with the world, so nothing was affected. Like, they weren't affected by what was going on in it. And they just sort of came back in a different location, so they were away from everything. I thought it was interesting.
So they kind of pussied out, basically.
They kind of pussied out. They pretty much were getting the hell out of Dodge. Let's use our crazy ass warping magic to do this. See you guys later. Have fun.
Nice.
Yeah, that's cool.
So the last dungeon we I just wanted to talk about, I'm just getting really tired and I'm going to get work soon, is the Fractals. And we'll just like quick fire between just like, you know, any memorable bosses you guys have done. Starting off, which is like the Aquatic Ruins. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say I love the whole darkness like mini fight.
Yeah, I did that one before. That's
and
cool.
I do not like the giant jellyfish.
No,
oh god,
it's really easy.
It's,
and it takes
it's
over.
Just boring is the problem.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's no, is there a mechanic to that fight? I didn't see it.
Shoot it till it dies.
The mechanic is press one alt tab.
Okay.
I think at higher fractals there might be something to do with.
Well, I know, like if you
those,
get
like
close,
pages of electricity.
Well, I know if you get close to the jellyfish, like in melee range, it'll like do some pretty massive damage.
Catch you and then
supposedly.
you start nominating.
The damage isn't very high.
You get eaten from time to time, but it's like oh. He's chewing on me.
Yeah, yeah. The damage isn't very high.
Repeatedly, like everything else.
So, yeah. I mean, that, like, what do you guys think of the dolphin thing? The whole echo.
It's kind of funny.
I don't like dolphins, apparently, because dolphins are weak.
I don't know. I thought it was pretty fun.
Yeah, it's nice. Next one, Cliffside, the Dr. Manhattan one.
That one's totally lame.
I would like to have an opinion on that one, like when I ran it. The person we ran it with decided they had a way to cheese through it, and it broke the fucking fractal, which was supposed to be our last one to do for that group. So it fucked the whole thing up. We didn't get to finish.
Yep, apparently they fixed that that exploit in the most recent patches.
Great.
Yep.
Also, that's the fractal that made me rage quit for the one and only time in Guild Wars 2.
Oh, wow.
It. Wait, Noob, you were there.
Yep.
I think. Yep.
That's the one Cynic glitched out of.
Yeah. Cynic was so bad at it that he glitched out of the map and he fell. So people didn't realize that standing in red circles is bad and will kill you. So basically when I was down, because pretty much everyone else in the party was already dead, I vengeanced and then with my greatsword, whirlwind attacked off the edge and killed myself and left. So
nice.
Pretty much got up and then spun attack off the ledge and died. It was totally worth it. Yeah, that one's okay.
Yeah.
The ending of that one's cool.
I do like the progression of it. I like the jumping puzzles. The one issue I have is I think it's the second or the third tier where you're fighting. Like it's the fire AoEs.
Oh, yeah. That's the one where I ended up rage quitting.
And it's just, I mean, like it's always ends up in tiers because one person doesn't know what they're doing and will just either like run out there, auto attack the thing, or just they'll die out on the fire. Someone else goes up there, usually ends up picking up the hammer, gets that initial burst of damage, dies as well. And it's yep.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, also the fact that you need to hit that one like 8 times. Like we get the mechanic, just let us move on.
Mm-hmm. Moving on then, I guess like we talked about it. It's pretty straightforward, just although tough. Is after that is Snowblind. The
Snowblind's the best one.
It's pretty great.
I really like it.
I really like the like heat mechanic.
Yeah,
yes, so
especially during that boss fight.
Yeah, you mean like the ice elemental thing?
Yeah, whether you have like light the campfires on fire or whatever, and then like the big snowstorm comes in, knocks it all out. Disorients everybody, spreads them out, and you got to find your way back to the campfire.
Yeah, I did that one earlier today, and my camera had me facing away from the boss, like, you know, off into the forest there, and it was a place I couldn't see. And I legitimately, like, took my hands off my mouse and keyboard for, like, a second. I was like, where am I?
I had no idea. I love everything about, like, that lead-up and that boss fight, except for the fact that he does a projectile attack that's hard to see in the middle of a blizzard, that will just knock you on your ass.
Oh, yeah, and you don't have knockdown, like, get out of knockdown skills. It's really annoying.
I mean, like, I do, but I'm usually running, like, other skills instead.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, that or, like, I'll get out of it and then immediately get knocked down again. Because I usually get spammed, like, 2 or 3 times and, like, well, I'm about to die from frost because I was disoriented, found out where the fire was, got knocked down, picked up a torch, got knocked down again, tried lighting it, got knocked down again. And it's just like, let me freaking light this.
I think it helps having one person be on lighting duty. Like, that helps a lot.
Definitely helps. That said, that middle boss fight is probably my favorite in terms of all boss fights, in terms of like, the mechanics and how cool it is.
Is that the one we're talking about?
The one that makes everything dark at nighttime.
Yeah, the ice elemental.
Okay,
the ice elemental.
Yeah.
That teleports people. It's actually really cool.
The final boss of that fight is it's a bit of a just like...
It's like following procedure and being like, okay, he's gone to that phase, time to do this, X, 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 Y, Y, Y.
So it does X, 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 Y, 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 Y.
Maybe if there was a way to throw in like randomness during the second phase, but since it's like, it's pretty much a wave, like it's once you know the pattern of those AoEs, it's really easy to avoid.
Yeah.
Like, laughably easy.
Yeah, but then every so often the boss dies of bleeds on top of the platform and then you can't loot his body.
Yeah.
And then right before that happens, you get a PM from your friend saying, hey, look at this named exotic. I just got off the boss's body. And then you're like, sweet, I hope I get one too. Oh, wait, I can't even loot his body. That's sad. That's pretty much how it goes down.
Yep.
That's sad.
Next up is the Swampland. Arguably the shortest, arguably the longest.
Yeah.
Depending on the coordination of your group.
Yep, you need to grab wisps and bring them back to the start, but there's traps everywhere and a giant naked guy killing everyone.
Great.
Yep, he just randomly shows up. Hey, guys, what's up? Boof. I'm gone.
Just like real life.
Yeah. Happens all the time.
Yep.
Chilling out in swamps.
I'm chilling in a swamp with a whole bunch of bear traps everywhere and this big naked man comes and hits me with an axe. That's just a Saturday afternoon.
I do like the idea of just like the traps as the annoying mechanic. I don't like the walls constantly disappearing.
Oh, no. It's like, oh, sweet. I'm going to make it. Boom. Wall in your face. Ugh.
Yep. There is a skill to getting through there, but there's too much randomness to make it like a challenge. It's more luck than skill.
Yeah.
I don't like when you have to do that.
Yeah, the game can screw you over without you really being able to do anything about it.
That's lame. Boss man, he's kind of fun. There's a Treant boss in there too, right?
Yeah, I fought him earlier today. He's really easy.
Okay. I do like the Moss man. He does like different phases, right?
He spawns adds and hits things, and he hits really hard.
Yeah, it's a solid boss fight.
Mm-hmm.
Underground facility, I believe that's the dredge one.
Yeah, you used to be able to cheese that one. Something fierce, but they got rid of it.
I love that cheese just because it was so campy.
Why did they, Aned, why did you get rid of that? It was so perfect.
So wait, what was the cheese then?
I would just love to see, okay, go ahead.
Have you done that one?
No, I have not.
There's basically a whole bunch of switches that you need to stand on that open doors, and then the rest of your party runs through the doors while you stand on the switch. Uh-huh.
Which, by the way, I love that mechanic.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But it all leads to one big room where there's two switches on each side, one switch on each side. And that swings two doors open where you need to stand there and channel, like working on a control panel, quote unquote. But what you could do, you used to be able to run on the ground underneath it and swing around on the like cliff behind it. And if you had swiftness, you could jump to the back of the room where the control panel is, which you're not supposed to be in. So since you're not supposed to be in it, the game would teleport you to the other side. Into the room.
And so basically, you would just skip the lead up to that first room.
Yep, you could skip like half the fractal. So,
but the idea of just like you need to just jump through this like box.
Yeah, jump through the box and you get magically teleported to the other side. It was glorious.
Yeah.
And they got rid of it. That was sad. Yeah, that's really easy. Except for, no, the last boss there is really annoying if you don't have a coordinated group.
I don't like the fight where you have to... I think it's the second, like, it's the middle boss fight left path where you have to, like, pick up the guns and shoot the door.
Oh, it's annoying.
While guys are constantly respawning and killing you, and it's just like, okay, well, if we die, we have to run past all these guys again, pick up the guns.
Same thing with the other side. You need to pick up bombs and drop them in front of the door.
Yeah. But that's a little bit more like you're able to move, you're able to dodge stuff still. With the gun, you're just like standing in front of this door shooting at it, and it takes way it takes just too long enough
to the point where it's annoying.
Yeah, so like everyone will end up wiping once, going back and redoing it.
See, that's my general feeling with these fractals is like, it's close, but they're just annoying enough to be really annoying.
Yeah.
To the point where I don't want to do them more than I have to.
Next up is one of my favorite ones, the Urban Battlegrounds.
The beginning of that one kind of sucks.
It's a little bit tricky where it's just like you just have to fight through this and just get to this boss. If they phased it a little bit better, so it's like okay, clear, like defend this area sort of thing, and then the fight will slowly progress closer to the wall.
If they did it where it's like a fight towards the wall, and then you get to the wall, and then Dolphy drops down from the wall and is like, oh man, they're at the gates. Time to use siege on them.
Yeah. That I think would be better, but I don't know. After the walls are down, it's a lot of fun fighting through the streets.
It's pretty cool.
Killing chickens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That last boss fight is pretty interesting. He's really not tough, and then he'll hit you once, and you'll be dead somehow, and you're just like, wait a minute, how'd that happen? Because he hits hard.
Mm-hmm.
Even on level 1.
Next up is the Grawl, the volcanic fractal.
Actually, I feel like that's pretty easy, just overall. Not having played the later versions, but like...
It definitely gets tougher at the higher levels with Agony, but I mean, just like the mechanics just as a whole, I feel like...
So, in that boss fight, you know when the boss like builds up that shield, right?
Yeah.
For a long time, everyone in my group, including myself, always thought that you had to kill the adds that spawn to break down that thing.
Nice.
Stop failing. And then someone realized, hey, we just hit it. Oh.
Well done.
No, because when he puts up the shield halfway through, it's, what is it called? You have to throw boulders at it. And so we thought it's not just hitting it because that didn't work before. Maybe we have to kill the adds. Yeah.
Maybe you guys are just bad.
Yep. Maybe that is it.
That's the reason I'm going with.
What I don't like is, I mean, I love the Indiana Jones boulders on fire that you have to outrun. I do like that. I just don't like when someone dies in the middle of it.
You can't.
It's infinitely harder to get them back up. Yeah. But it'd be nice if at the very end, just like with all the other like trap hallways, there's just like, oh, here's a lever to collapse that, like the entrance to that like area, so there's no more boulders.
To be fair, if everyone wipes, then it stops.
Yeah, I mean it's okay. Here's the way we can fix this: everyone die, and we'll just all run again. Because that's cool.
Hey, wiping is cool. Okay. If dungeons have taught me anything, is that only good things can happen when everyone's dead.
Everyone comes back to life.
Yep.
Well, my mother died. Time to have my entire family commit suicide so we can bring everyone back.
Yeah, that checks out.
Some kid out there is going to learn from Guild Wars 2 that if you lost a loved one, just kill everyone else, including yourself, and then everyone
will come back to life.
That is not the message from this podcast. Stay in school, kids. The second to last one, I guess, is the uncategorized, or basically just it's the Asura / jumping puzzle.
See, that Asura thing kind of makes me sad just about the future. But then again, they are Asura.
Well, it's you don't really know exactly what it is, but it's just like there is a crazy Asura. It is a giant
abandoned
place like Ratasum. And there is that, like, at the very beginning, what's the
Miss Asura like, lady?
Yeah. Basically, the lady who's
maybe,
talking to him on the intercom
like,
is like,
these giant
hold on,
thighs
I know what
came
this is.
From
I
under the
sec.
Floor and then crushed Ratasum. That's what I'm imagining.
Maybe. We don't
know. Did you crush it between your thighs?
Yeah. Just giant thighs came out of the ground.
Oh, God. That'd be frightening.
But what do you guys think of like the poison room?
It's annoying.
It's annoying, but like mechanics-wise. Is it solid?
Not really. Because you just run, 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 back, kill. And then later on levels, it's just a time limit. And that's kind of annoying.
Yeah, because like later levels, you need to bring the crystals over to recharge the other things before you can turn the fan back on.
So it needs a little bit of improvement, but I mean, it's not the worst.
That's another one that's like, it's close, but not quite there.
Yeah. I like the final fight, just like,
final
fight's
fun.
1, 2, 3, 4, then hit them all.
Like,
I love the names.
Especially the names, yeah. The names. It's just this lonely Asura by himself with his cats.
Crazy cat lady Asura. Yeah.
It's yep. really sad. It's kind of depressing, to be fair.
And then the last one before we end is it's the Solid Ocean, the Jade Maw.
Cthulhu, you mean?
Yeah.
You mean
Cthulhu? Let's be honest. When I went on there, that is literally what I thought. It's very Lovecraftian, and it's
yeah, like a lot of things are like just improper angles.
Yeah.
Well, that's the Jade Sea for you. That's how it was in the first game.
Oh, okay. Like with dragons and tentacles coming out of there too.
Actually, there were dragons.
Jade Sea was more blue, wasn't it? Than
well, it's jade.
Yeah,
the color's not going to change. But there was a lot. There were a lot of outposts and stuff that were built into the jade that had a whole bunch of weird sharp angles everywhere.
Very cool.
Yeah, and then there were actually were dragons
that like looked so, like that dragon.
They looked like Chinese dragons.
Yeah. Okay, I can see that. And then just added tentacles. Because yep. why not?
What was that dragon you fought in Factions? What's his Jewish face? Like Kumintang? That's not
Kunavang?
Kunavang, yes.
Yeah. Kunavang, yeah.
It's too close to the people, or the Nationalist China's government party, whatever. Whatever.
But I mean, like, has an agenda.
It's another fight where it's like, you know, you aren't directly fighting the boss. It's more you're fighting the ads and using the tools of the area to fight the boss. So yeah, that is another mechanic I do like, though it does get a little bit campy at times.
Yeah, also, I hate how you can target summon things and ranger pets.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he'll target the ranger pet, like, four times in a row. And
like,
just won't make
this fight last even longer.
Yep, and I think it can also target, like, engineer turrets. And pretty much anything that can be killed can be targeted. So it's really annoying when you have someone who doesn't know not to use minions or turrets or anything, and it just makes the fight go on that much longer. They should probably change that.
Yep. So that's we've
final verdict on Fractals, close but not quite there.
Yeah.
It once they fix, like, I understand they'll never be able to make it perfect, but they can make it definitely better.
Yes.
And yep. for what it is, I quite like it. I'm really happy they put this into the game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think they need more rewards.
It's got the potential to add more. Like, you know, they'll just keep adding fractals to it
right,
that
the
will hopefully go through the rotation.
This is something they could add on to without having to completely wipe it clean and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, instead of having to create a new story mode and right. three new explorable paths, they could just pump exactly. out three new fractals real quick and add them to the rotation.
Yep.
And this is a good way of experimenting with dungeon...
With mechanics and stuff.
Yeah, mechanics and stuff like that. And I hope they implement some of the good things from the fractals into future dungeons.
Yeah, like, it's like anything you'd like bosses. To see change with, like, any dungeons that you guys have done. I guess we'll just go around a circle. Like, during any boss fight to, like, this just please change this mechanic. I don't know what to, or, like, maybe I do.
I mean, you mean just in fractals, or are you talking about in general?
Well, just from anything you've done. Any one boss fight that sticks out that's like, this I really didn't like.
Like I said before, I haven't done a whole lot of them. I would say if there was one
in
that
your
I've done, it would probably be Colossus Rumblus. Like I said, just the idea is okay. I think just communicating the proper information to the player is where they're lacking, and that could be enough to fix that.
Or yeah. maybe just offering a closer waypoint.
No, not just that.
No, closer waypoints
close.
Are not necessary. I think that is a way to put a Band-Aid on a bigger issue. The mechanic of the fight shouldn't revolve
a Band-Aid on an infection.
Well, the mechanic of the fight shouldn't involve, like, well, they should just put the waypoint closer so that when I die, that I can just run back faster. Like, that shouldn't be the case. Like, I should have better ways of making sure that I'm not going to die and knowing that I'm not going to die.
Yeah. Okay, so just better tells on when,
especially because it's so similar to the Howling King. Like I said before, it's basically just a more bullshit version of the Howling King. So if you've seen that, because the Howling King is path one and Rumblus is path three, mm-hmm. if you've seen that mechanic on the Howling King, you're like, oh, okay, I'm over here, I'm safe. And then you just get two hit and you're just that was
dumb. I think one thing that would really help a lot in this game is something I thought that I had seen early on, but I guess it was something that I had actually seen in the Secret World that helps a lot that I think they could really incorporate into this game. And that is... AoE indicators on the ground for when the enemies are going to be using like conal AoEs or you know, model based AoEs or whatever the case may be, to let you know, like, what they'll do is they'll draw like a chalk outline kind of thing, and it'll give you, like, say it's a circular AoE, it'll give you that circle, like there'll be a chalk circle on the ground with another chalk circle coming out, letting you know when it's going to detonate, when it's going to happen. And the same goes for a conal one as well. You'll see the cone, and then you'll see like an animation of, you know, a line going up through that cone, knowing that when it reaches the end of that cone is when it's going to hit. And like so, something like that in the game would help a lot.
See, I like part of that idea. I like the drawing the outline on the ground for the cone, but I feel like the way the combat system is set up, since most of those moves, even though they don't have a tell on the area, they have a tell on the move itself that's fairly obvious. So I feel like if you maybe only took half of that and made it just the cone on the ground, that'd be perfectly fine. At least it'd be way better than what they have.
Yeah, like some kind of indicator to let you know where the effect of that ability is going to be.
Yeah.
Okay, so just better tells and just like maybe like a change in intensity, perhaps, of like the outline gets bolder and bolder.
No, because like the way I see it is like they have they have red circles for every other AoE. Why don't they have it for that?
Yeah,
because with like not enemies, like other players using conal attacks, it's fairly obvious where they are because it's usually like just a big like flame breath thing, at least for most of them if they're conal. So you can clearly see where you will and won't take damage. For this, you have absolutely no indicator.
Yeah, I,
the other issue that's more permanent with Remblis is he is so big. He's yelling at you above your camera angle, like point of view.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I could either have my camera looking at his face so I can see when he's doing the tell, but I can't see where, or I can have it aimed at the ground so I'm seeing where the AoEs are.
Yeah, and that's where I kind of feel like Guild Wars is almost there when it comes to how they show you like AoEs on the ground and stuff. Like Shinboy said, like it will show like a red AoE letting you know where there's going to be an enemy AoE. But unless you have your eyes focused on the exact spot that tell on the enemy's model is actually happening, you have no idea when it's going to hit. And that's actually equally as important. And again, if you're going to have giant enemies like that, or if you're going to have other fights where there are like 30 enemies all doing stuff and there are AoEs being dropped and everything, there needs to be some kind of an indicator to the player on that AoE spot when it's going to hit.
Right on. Shinboy,
mm-hmm.
any one boss fight, trash fight, anything that you'd like to see changed?
All of Jotun Path.
All right.
That's mostly because it's buggy.
Just necessarily changed, but just fixed? Working,
just remove it.
Working as intended. Oh, just, okay.
Just start from scratch with that path.
It's nothing, just like when you go in there, you just see the three, like, you know, like the path guys, and there's just a sign saying, I'll be back in 5 minutes on
Lupicus. Lupicus is buggy as hell. Like, he'll reset just randomly. And he is the least buggy thing about that path.
Oh, wow. Okay, so yeah, Jotun. All right. New Brahma.
So, probably for Fractals. I'll go Fractals specifically because I haven't had much explorable missions. But probably Jellyfish because it's just fucking boring.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I agree.
I think it basically signifies what underwater boss combat is, where it's literally just pressing one.
Kite and press one.
Right. That said, I do want to say what I want to see more of is that halfway level boss fight for the snow mission for the Norn one. Where
just the idea of like
where the idea is it's environment changing rather than simply a bunch of new skills and it adds a lot more mechanics to it. I just want
to
see more
to the point,
of that
also
mission.
Like the boss doesn't really do much damage to you directly.
Right.
It's that he moves you out of your safety zone and you start taking damage over time.
It's taking advantage of the environment rather than simply strengthening the boss. As well, I just want to see more from that. You know, like when you go into the forest and you need like natural lighting. I thought that was really cool. Just stuff like that was really cool. I'm surprised.
Grab a torch or have someone using a torch.
Yeah,
that or like the dark underwater one where it's just like you have to pick up those mini light balls.
Uh-huh.
It simply looks really nice. They should do a lot more of that.
Yeah. Yeah, but I feel like my biggest problem with the way the dungeons are structured now is there's a lot of really interesting mechanics in both the puzzles and like quote unquote events in the dungeons, as well as the cool mechanics in the boss fight. The problem is, most of them are in a raw. Like a solid three quarters of them are in a raw. They need to spread them out.
I will say a lot of my like a lot of the favorite ones are definitely near the higher tiers of dungeons. And if the like if they want explorables to be designed for level 80s, I mean like yes, lower levels can do them, but set that bar high. I guess the one thing this I actually recently came across this. It wasn't in a dungeon, but it was just this. I'm not sure if it was a veteran. I think it was
maybe like a champion or something.
Yeah, I was doing world completion basically, and it was just this. Like there are these three guys I had to do. It was in Brisbane Wildlands. It was like
godforsaken hellhole of an area.
Yeah, off to the west where all those bandits are. There was just like this dynamic event to beat up these like two veterans and a champion. And the champion just had a description, like, you know, they say, like, bleeds or yells or something. It just said, tank.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, okay, that's weird. I ended up beating up the two veterans, no problem. What the tank did is he yelled, and I would just immediately, like, I would get a reverse fear where I would just go straight towards him. And I've never seen that in any of the boss fights.
No, there's none of them in any of the dungeons. You asked me about this the other day, and I was like, that's weird. I've never seen that.
And I think that would be a great mechanic to see in another boss fight. And maybe they're just like, you know, they have a chest full of these things that are just like, we're saving these for more dungeons. But that's just a mechanic I'd love to see
like,
in a fight.
Polar has like that pull, but it's still, you can dodge that pretty easily.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's again going to that idea of taking you out of your comfort zone. It's like, oh crap, I'm right next to the boss now. One of the bosses, like, similar to Kohler is, the AC story, what's the, Aberdeen?
Adelburn?
Aberdeen.
Shut up. I'm tired.
Aberdeen? You're going to visit the Night Elves? Oh,
yeah.
Sweet. Yes.
Is that the name of the Night Elves?
Isn't it?
Aberdeen is a place where Night Elves were in WoW.
Yes, that place is Portland.
Yeah, I'm a WoW veteran. Shut up.
It was destroyed
then. Anyway, just, yeah, the
just had to throw Adelburn. The part in there.
Yes, burn it to the ground.
It's not good there.
No tears are shed.
Moment of silence.
Never mind
then.
Adelburn. That's like that was a fight where it's like everyone got pulled into the center. And it's memorable, I guess, for people who are doing their first dungeon, or at least during the start of the game and in betas and whatnot. But that's that's what I'd like to see.
More cool mechanics that are not in Nerah.
Yes.
It's not that I dislike that they're in a raw because I'll do those anyway. It's just that not enough people will experience them. Or they'll do like AC and be like, oh, this is really straightforward because admittedly it is. And they'll be like, oh, I thought there were going to be cool, interesting mechanics in these. I'm not going to bother with these anymore.
And, or if I had to be pressed to critique something that's in a dungeon, I'll just say fix the dredge. Just because there's like five different types of dredge and that's it. And if you're doing three paths full of them, that gets kind of tiresome for trash.
Yeah, give the dredge a break. Like, retire them for a little bit.
Or just remove them from the game.
Either or.
Make the dredge tonics so you actually have an animation and you have it on.
Or have like a world event called Dredge Genocide and we get to wipe out dredge as an entire race.
Dredgecide.
Yep.
But basically the dredge tonic, you go into the standard arms out at a downward, like 45 degree angle, whatever pose, and you don't move, so you just levitate around, and it's frightening.
Oh, I hope that's intentional.
That video where the dredge were just circling those people.
Oh, no.
That was hilarious.
Oh, nightmares.
Yep. I guess we'll finish this off with some plugs. We didn't get a whole lot of emails regarding the PvE commander.
I'm disappointed in you guys.
Yeah. Shinboy doesn't know what to do now that he has the commander icon.
Yeah,
help him out.
If you have an idea for a stupid thing to do with the commander icon, email it.
And then just share it with us, and we'll tell everyone else, and then just more people will know of fun things to do in the game, because all the fun things we do now are currently being considered exploits and gotten rid of.
Like what?
I can't climb around stuff in Lion's Arch, because people abuse that in World vs.
Oh, yes, true. This is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah. And so we need to go to you guys to ask for more nice
things. That's such a dumb fix.
But
I'm not one to call for invisible walls in MMO. And in fact, I fucking hate when they implement them. But
I really hate.
But at the same time, if it means I can do my fucking stupid jumping around a Lion's Arch, put a fucking invisible wall out there. Just fucking do it. Let me do my jumping. God damn it!
Just make an invisible roof like 2 feet off. Just so, like when people try climbing up those things in World vs. World, they just hit the ceiling. I hate to say it, but like a squirrel that's trying to climb a bird's feeder.
Oh, speaking of invisible walls and dungeons, in Sorrow's Embrace, going back to that, I completely forgot about this. There's one event where like the dredge like cart shows up, and you can sort of cheese it by having everyone stand on top of said cart.
But oh, thought, I remember that.
We thought it was
only one person.
No, oh. I looked it up afterwards, and apparently you can have everyone stand. But anyway, I was the only one up there, and I died, and then the cart disappeared, but my body was still just levitating in the middle, like just in the air, just hanging there. And
it
then
was magical. It was a magical moment.
I sort of, like, my body, once the thing disappeared, sort of went down to like a 45-degree angle, like head down. It was really weird and kind of scary. I took way too many screenshots. Yeah.
Bugs. All right, but yep. Shinboy, any plugs?
No, I'll probably be doing Game of the Year stuff soon on my site, but that's still a couple weeks off.
Yeah, you got finals?
Yes and no. Because of the storm, they wiped out the finals period. Normally, you know, it's like a week and a half of just finals and no classes, but they just sort of extended the semester a couple days. So normally I would be done in like 3 days, but now I have another week and a half.
Oh, man.
That's not good. Oh, well.
Yeah, but once that's out of the way, I'll hopefully be building a new PC over winter break and then pumping out some stupid video stuff. Maybe some of the stuff we do in Guild Wars with the guild.
So, very cool. New Rama, any plugs you want to give out?
Plugs for the Giant Bomb PC Gaming Hub. If you like PC games and you want to play them with other people.
Or apparently if you like Cards Against Humanity.
Or Cards Against Humanity.
So basically, if you're a terrible person, join the Giant Bomb PC Gaming Hub.
Yes.
I think that is accurate for half the people I've met on there, so.
Yep.
Oh, damn. Hashtag shots fired.
Very cool. Durin, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
I do have a plug.
Slow down there.
get ready, folks. It's going to be a barn burner here.
I love how we're all just so disinterested at this point.
We've talked it over. We've all kind of decided, even Cynic, even though he's not here. And we're kicking Noob off the show because we're tired of his ass.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be Noob's last episode.
Wait.
So everybody
sorry,
just
I was reading the comic. What?
No, just don't worry.
Oh.
Okay.
Just keep sitting there listening.
All right.
Noob, don't. No more tears.
What?
I don't know. Durin, go ahead. Go.
In case anyone actually thought that was serious, I would know. No, the actual plug. The actual plug is. We talked about this a couple of episodes back, probably three episodes back at this point.
I feel like we should mention this at the beginning of the podcast when people might have been still listening.
We didn't think this would actually happen because it had been so long and because Noob is on our podcast. But it turns out it's going to. We actually have an ArenaNet dev lined up to be on the podcast.
And you know why? Because they never actually vetted it. That's the only reason why.
Details.
That doesn't matter. Yeah, we'll take it where we can get it. Josh Foreman, who's a lead artist, I believe, is his title.
He's not a lead at all. He's a level designer.
Level designer. Gotcha.
He's just a dude.
Level artist.
He's made tons of video games.
So,
but basically,
if you walked around Lion's Arch, let me put it this way: if you were around for the Halloween thing in Lion's Arch, like he was a part of that. So you definitely have seen his work. The statue that was destroyed, he actually
modeled
created.
The original, like the Lion's Arch statue.
And he also worked on the jumping puzzle. Yes.
Yeah. So you have him.
He's the main dude responsible for the jumping
basically,
puzzle. If I understood,
Revan has him to thank for him having to go out and buy a new mouse. Is what it comes down to, really. So we're gonna have him on the show.
It's gonna be Inquisition, is what it's gonna be.
We're gonna have him on the show, I believe. Our plan right now is to record this next week. So this next weekend, and then the show will probably go up about 2 weeks after. So what?
Yeah, like a holiday special.
Yeah,
sort of
yeah.
Thing,
so
right?
It's not gonna be your normal 3-hour podcast. We're shooting probably 45 minutes or so. What we're going to do is we're going to do kind of a Q&A thing. So, but we're not the only ones coming up with the questions. So if you have any questions you would like to submit, that you'd like to ask, again, you know, try to keep them to the, if it's going to be like Guild Wars 2 creation related, try to keep in mind he is a level designer. So, like, don't ask him balance questions because right. probably doesn't know the answer to that.
Yeah, it's he won't be able to answer, and probably he will not answer just because that's not his job. His
or
job
like
is
PR related questions.
Yeah.
Like anything about like creating worlds or just bottling things.
His social security
he's
number.
A ton of other games. Yeah, social security
address.
Yeah,
and even
like
beyond
that.
Guild Wars 2, if you have a question about maybe past work or
size
whatever the case might
dress.
Be,
what size bra does he wear?
Be sure to submit those questions to our email address. That is the.
I'm assuming we'll make a forum post. About
we're going to do that too.
We'll probably
well,
add
yeah.
onto that. But
otherwise, you can also submit a question to the email address, which is thelincolncast@gmail.com. And we'll.
All right. Wait. Before that, like us on Facebook.
God damn it.
YouTube, and you wonder why you're not allowed to be on that episode.
Anyway,
yeah. Send us your questions there, or check out the Giant Bomb thread that we're going to create. Where we'll also be taking questions from as well. And we'll pull as many questions in as we can. What was that again?
I guess when you guys do send us your question, a better way to ensure it gets answered is rather than just say like, "Hey, this is
cool
X Shadow 28."
X-Shadow.
Yeah.
X Dragon Slayer X.
Yeah, it just add your name. It doesn't have to be your full name. It could just be like, "Hey, Chris,"
and your social security number and your address.
Basically, Thurbleton just doesn't want to actually reference X Shadow Crosser X 420
X Sephiroth X.
Plus, I get aroused when I say people's names.
Use whatever name. Yeah, just be sure to include some kind of a name that
pseudonym.
We can call you by.
Pseudonym too. Just Bill.
That way,
okay.
Your question's being answered on the show. So that's pretty much that. I don't think we have any other details really about that for right now. If we do, that'll go in next week's show.
Have you been doing much streaming?
Not as much. Assassin's Creed 3, I haven't been streaming because actually I've only been playing it. Like, my wife is really interested in it, so I've been playing it basically when she's available, and she's just kind of watching me play through it. And Far Cry 3 is a very graphically intensive game, and I'm afraid to stream it. But my StarCraft I will be streaming.
Got to man up.
One thing you have been streaming is the karaoke night, which has just been entertaining.
I had, yeah, I've
you missed
the last
one and arguably the best.
Yeah, I've missed the last couple now because the 2 weeks ago was when I was sick, and so I just was not even up to doing anything.
We don't have one every week.
Okay, well, I just assumed.
Yeah. No. Because we decided against it because, one, my school's network decided it hates VoIP clients.
Oh, great.
And two, we figured if we did it every week, it would get stale.
Oh, okay. But yeah, otherwise, the other thing I will be streaming is I'll probably be streaming a lot of my StarCraft 2 play when I do that, the Heart of the Swarm stuff. So if you're interested in seeing somebody fumble their way through that who hasn't played in a while, I win some games here and there still.
What happened to Final Fantasy VII?
What did happen to that? I don't know. Lots of new games coming out, so I haven't gotten back to that. I'll probably hit that back up again starting probably next year at this point, like January or so, just because I got Assassin's Creed 3 and Far Cry 3 that I'm playing through, and I still got Sleeping Dogs I'd like to get back to. I still got to get through Walking Dead. I had plans of actually streaming Walking Dead this weekend, like all the way through, because I'm still only on Chapter 1. But I didn't end up doing that, so I'll probably do that next weekend, where I'm just gonna marathon it. I'm going through all of them. They were talking about it on Giant Bomb I think it was on the most recent Bombcast about how like they liked having that break and they felt like that was necessary just because the game just wore you down emotionally.
You're just gonna
and
go
so
screw
I
that.
Just took that as challenge accepted, and I am going to just marathon through the whole thing. And so I'll probably be streaming that, like I said, probably next weekend.
Boom.
Sweet.
I might watch your mental breakdown. I might have to tune in for that.
I think that's it. Yeah. Third?
Yeah, I guess I got two plugs. That's just really just community things to keep a heads up on. Coming up, as most folks know, is the Steam Christmas sale. Shinboy, I guess, inadvertently hinted at this, but just there's a lot of Secret Santa stuff going around. And it'd be nice. I'm not sure if we'll do something with. Does the Giant Bomb community do like an in-house?
They have a Steam giveaway thread. I don't know. Already that's just kind of always ongoing.
Our PC Gaming Hub's doing Secret Santa.
No, Steam Gifts is different though.
The idea I have, the best bet is like that. There's Good Old Games has stuff, I'm sure, and there's a couple of the game sites, but like it's Steam is the one that people put wish lists up there and just say like, hey, we're doing something for $5 or less. Do that with your guild. Get like anybody wants to sign up.
Just
for
a warning about wish lists on Steam. If someone already owns their game and they had
a wish list, that
does not update. So if you're planning on buying a game, please do.
Yeah, it doesn't update, but it does tell you when you're going to purchase that game. You're going to like choose who to give it to you. It will tell you if that person already owns the game.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, that's good.
So it sort of safeguards against itself.
Yeah.
In that method. But yeah, it's talk to your guild, see if they want to do like an in-house Steam sale, just because we all like video games, right? Mm-hmm. Right?
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
Especially when they're like $5.
Scribblenauts.
The one other thing I wanted to just give a shout out to was a guy has been posting on the Guild Wars 2 Reddit every week or so that he's basically working on trying to get an achievement guide for giving crafting guides. Or,
what? You know, getting the crafting achievement.
Crafting guide achievement.
Yes.
Yeah. Basically, he's putting out crafting guides for each of the crafting profession or crafting things. Crafting. He's done one for cooking, jewelry, and the most recent one to come out was Artificer.
Oh, so we did the easy ones first.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's going through and he's trying to get all of them done. One thing to take a note from this is that usually as soon as you release the, this is the list of things you're going to need ahead of time. They cost roughly this much money, this much karma. He lays out in very easy to follow spreadsheet fashion what you need. Prices do change on the trading post. One example was something went up 3,733% after he posted this price.
So clearly people are watching.
I wonder if you could pull.
Yeah,
I wonder
clearly
if you could
people
pull
like
the Guild Wars 2 Spidey API. Like there's also one that calculates how much you need for your legendary, and that pulls straight from the GW2 Spidey API for automatically updated market prices. I wonder if he could do that.
Well, he has he goes back every now and then and says like, okay, after releasing this a day or two later, this is what the price changed to. I did the chef thing like 2 weeks after he posted it. And the prices hadn't changed back to what they were, but a lot of the expensive stuff, like the bubble on it, did end, and it went back down to a reasonable price. And so I got like I'm 2 out of 3 done. I still got to get jewelry, just because, or no, I still have to get artificing, because that
artificing's really easy if you have dust.
Yeah, it's just he recently posted it, so I'm sure I have a lot of the materials in house still. But yeah, For people who don't know, the website, it's a WordPress. It's Quorthos, quorthos.wordpress.com. So that's my plug. People who want to get some levels in really quickly, use crafting.
Cool. I'm probably going to end up not wanting to play my engineer at all and just paying for all of my crafting levels. Because that name is too glorious to not have a level 80.
What name is that?
Homechar Runner.
Oh, god damn it. God damn it. Dude, I'm surprised. There's no way that it hasn't been taken yet.
He took it.
It's taken.
Oh, no, it is taken by me.
Oh, god. That's pretty good.
And someone else got Nastchar.
So with that, I guess we'll end the Lincoln cast. Go get some shopping done.
Yep, shopping, gifts, games.
Don't do it last day, man. I'm telling you.
You can just mail me.
Do it like my family, where we give our gifts, December 10th, 12th?
What?
So very soon from now.
Yeah, you can just mail me T6 mats and all that.
Well, Noob, don't do it last minute unless you're like me and have Amazon Prime and do it last minute and still get it before Christmas.
Okay, yeah.
I cannot do it last minute because I have to buy stuff and then ship it.
Mm. Oh, wait, but then again, what happens if there's a nuclear war against Amazon between Barnes & Noble and whatever that other company that's dying called.
All those companies are in Canada, so we're okay. But no, for those who don't know, I guess the one final thing is Winter Stay does start next Friday.
Yeah.
We're really? Time and for being as close to it, we know nothing about it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to talk about it next week, I'm sure, but it's just it's Christmas stuff.
Yep. Christmas in Tyria.
From what I can tell, Duena and Grinth are not involved, which makes me kind of sad.
Wait, then what do you do?
Right. Anyway, we'll see in a week. That's what we will do.
Did they confirm Duena and Grinth?
I don't know. They didn't confirm it, but it wasn't in any of the stuff they released so far. Like I said, we will see in a week.
Right.
All right, well, with that, bye, everybody.
Go fuck yourselves.
I need to go to bed.
I'm actually tired.
I don't know where he's going to cut that ending off, but all right.